speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.
It's Tuesday, August 18th, 2020. I'm David Knight, your host. Today we have some comedic relief from the lockdown. Yes, the DNC convention began yesterday, and the reviews are in, even from their friends in the media, saying it looked like an NPR telethon or a TV award show. This is really pretty pathetic. I saw some of the people this morning, I was getting coffee on Fox and Friends, and they were saying, well, you know, this is what we're used to seeing, real conventions with cheering bands and massive crowds and all that sort of thing. So it really was pretty dead. It's hard to go first. So how are the Republicans going to modify their convention to give it some interest or excitement? Well, I've got an idea. Since President Trump rapidly changed his mind about shutting down the convention, he could just as rapidly change his mind and say, we're going to do this in person. Just like that, you could have tens of thousands of people show up. They don't have to be RNC delegates. Just hold a public crowd somewhere for your acceptance speech or the nomination. Do it in public. Be a leader. How about that? You could show that you're not afraid of the virus. You could show that tens of thousands of people are not afraid. I don't think that's going to happen. Do you? I think what's going to happen, and we're going to talk about this some more today. We've got yet another church that has been meeting since the very beginning. And not a single person has gotten sick. They haven't done any social distancing, no masks, nothing, nothing. And quite frankly, the Christians don't care if they get sick. They are called to do something else. And we ought to have some fearless leaders in politics, but we don't. They're going to take care of themselves. That's why this is going to come from the grassroots. It's going to come from you and I. And it's going to come from leaders in churches. It's going to come from leaders in the local community, sheriffs, mayors, city councilmen who stand up and say no to this insanity that's being pushed down on them from the top, from the White House, from Capitol Hill, from the State House, Republican or Democrat. It doesn't matter. We're going to have to take this back from the bottom up. And that's a good thing. That could be a very good thing because America has been headed down this path of putting all of their trust in the federal government, putting all their trust in a presidential election, and putting all of their hopes on a changed Supreme Court, because you understand, everybody understands, that the Supreme Court, unelected, unaccountable, is where the real power in this country is. They can change anything and everything about our lives. And you still have people who are appealing to them. It's time that we stop appealing to unelected bureaucrats, people like Fauci, people like John Roberts, people like Darth Vader Ginsburg. We stop appealing to them. We stop giving them control over our lives. They have control over our lives because we want our problems fixed by somebody else. And the media has told us for the longest time that the place that you get everything fixed is in Washington. We should have listened to Ronald Reagan's speechwriter who said the government, especially the federal government, is not the solution. It is the problem. It is what has locked us down. And so we're going to take a look at this ridiculous convention. And oh, by the way, President Trump, it's the economy. It's the economy that really matters. I don't know if we're in a V-shaped recovery or not. President Trump said we are. To get back to where we were after months of this, that would be nice if that were true. I think what we're seeing in terms of this measurement here, though, is not the greatest economic recovery we've ever seen, but the greatest economic redistribution of wealth that we have seen. And of power. Political power, away from the people that we elect to the bureaucrats. So why not do it as a Zoom event? Because they don't have or will use anything to stop any of this.
The United Nations and the National Institutes of Health with the CDC are publicly conducting a 4,000-person study, spending tens of millions of dollars at Yale on 15 ways to brainwash the public into taking inoculations, basically squeezing you and forcing you to take them through guilt, through fines, through not being able to go into stores, not being able to get on airplanes or have jobs. This is forced inoculations. It's public. Gateway Pundit wrote about it last week. David Knight wrote about it this week. Stories up on Infowars.com. So people say, oh, I'll just wear a mask. It's never going to end. That's just the sign of submission. Fauci admits that. Next is the contact tracing and the apps on your phones and the inoculations. That is a DNA vaccine that changes your DNA. This isn't a science fiction movie. It's happening right now. Compliance is death. Compliance is annihilation. Wake up. Wake up.
In a world of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, The David Knight Show.
It's Tuesday, August 18th, year of our Lord 2020. I'm David Knight, your host. Today we're going to take a look, as it is day 155 of America Lockdown. We're going to take a look now at the Lockdown Convention, the Pandemic Convention. We'll do that after we take a look at what is happening to our ordinary lives, because our lives are more important than the political theater that is happening out here. But there's a lot of this pandemic convention is being widely panned. I think the best reaction, and we'll have some Twitter comments that have been collected by WND, similar to an NPR pledge drive. That's about as low as it goes. But, you know, you've got even the loyal Democrat press talking about it. That's individuals talking about it, an NPR pledge drive. But the press itself is saying, yeah, it looks kind of like an award show. This is really dull. It's dead. Who cares about it? Oh, well, Michelle Obama spoke. Well, if that's your cup of tea, not mine. But I think the fact that Michelle Obama, and New York Post pointed out, well, good news, Democrats, Michelle gave a barn burner. Bad news is, this is your nominee. And they point to Biden. And that's really what this is about. And I've said this many times. I said, picking Kamala Harris, I think that was a maneuver that was to take somebody who finished up in the primaries, the low energy primaries at 1%, and put her on the ticket. Somebody who embodies every bit of phoniness and the police state along with Joe Biden as they're pushing Black Lives Matter and defund the police. They bring in the guy who created the police state, who created the mandatory minimums and the draconian laws under the war on drugs. And the woman who bragged about how she smoked pot, she was lying about it. Maybe she didn't smoke pot. I don't know. She probably did smoke pot, but she was lying about the music that she listened to. I don't know what she was lying about. She lies about everything. And again, she's a chameleon. And she's changing the color of her skin now. She was the first Indian American. That's the way she came out. And now she's the first Black American VP. Just like that, just like Elizabeth Warren. So we'll talk about that coming up. But again, it is, it's kind of interesting. It's kind of amusing. But here's what is really happening to your life and to my life. Let's not get distracted with, and of course, there's not a lot of bright lights and entertainment in this, is there? Not a lot of balloons. We're not going to have a moment. Maybe they could do it just on stage like Hillary Clinton, you know, when all the balloons came down. She's like, looking up at the balloons. That was a great moment, wasn't it? Maybe they could reproduce that. You know, just have the astonished look. Because Joe Biden would have that same astonished look that Hillary Clinton did. He always has that same astonished look. They put him on the podium and it's like, what do I do? Where's the teleprompter? And then he still can't figure out what to say. So, you know, they could reproduce that, but maybe they won't. Probably they won't. And it's not going to be some kind of entertaining distraction. No, you're still going to be locked into your home. You're still going to be putting masks on your face and so forth if you listen to these people. Why? Because this is a big, just like that, is a big distraction and a movement this whole COVID thing is also a big distraction for what they want to do. This article from Reason Magazine, the highest single day of COVID-19 deaths, quote unquote. That's the headlines that we saw everywhere, right? You saw those headlines in Good Morning America on MSN.com. It was all being repeated from ABC News. They were the ones who did the headline. It was on Drudge. Oh, the biggest day, single day of COVID-19 deaths ever, right? Except the problem is, as they point out, they flashed a graphic up on the screen very briefly. And when you look at that graphic, you see, no. It's not at all. Not at all. The curve is going down. It's looking like the FAR law curve, right? The bell-shaped curve. And they pointed out that they had the caveat there that it was since mid-May. And yet at the graphic, you can plainly see peak deaths plainly occurred months ago, but such attention to such an enormously important detail goes completely missing in the ABC segment, says Reason Magazine. And less than attentive viewers could be forgiven for thinking that the country was in fact experiencing record-setting COVID-19 deaths right now. Right now. Now understand, this is using their own data. This is lies on top of lies because the CDC statistics have always been lies about flu deaths. This is why I never believed this from the very beginning. You got people on the news, even on alternative news, saying, look at this. The CDC shows us it's the number one cause of death right now. Well, if the CDC says so, it's got to be true, right? No, because the CDC has lied to us every year. Every year they presume that people have flu and have died from the flu without testing them. And that's what they've done this year as well. They just presume the deaths. And when you've got people, and this is the way the demographics are working out, almost all the deaths are elderly. And it pretty much mirrors what you would expect, death from natural causes, old age and comorbidities. And so they're mapping and projecting on COVID as presumed deaths, as doctors have pointed out. They don't do autopsies on people when they're at or above life expectancy or near to it. And they've got comorbidities, but natural causes or something. Not now. Not now. It's COVID-19. So they've already inflated the deaths by doing that. And then you have the mainstream media lie about their manipulated data as if that isn't enough. It's lies on top of lies. Absolutely amazing. As they point out in The Federalist, an insane model means that Colorado's COVID-19 policies are essentially based on tarot cards. That's the best way that you can describe these computer models coming out of the Imperial College in London and from the Colorado School of Public Health, led by Dean Jonathan Samet. His model is even more ludicrously wrong than the Imperial College of London, which, as Dr. Ioannidis from Stanford University, the epidemiologist, pointed out from the very beginning. He said their assumptions are that every person who gets it is going to infect 2.3 other people, and that's going to continue forever. We've never had any disease like that, ever. It doesn't happen. Going back to 1840, Farr established that relationship. That's why they were saying, got to flatten the curve, right? Well, where'd the curve come from? It's been around since 1840. All the epidemiologists know that. And yet, as they were saying, we've got to flatten the curve. Then it became about cumulative death totals. Then it became about presumed people who tested positive with a test that tests positive even for colds. And so what is happening in Colorado, as I point out, you know, Italy had 600 deaths per million. But again, if you look at those statistics, and we knew this before the lockdown came to America, we knew in Italy that virtually everybody who was dying was 79 years old or older in the first two reports that came out, and that they all had 2 to 3 comorbidities. There were only 3 exceptions in all of Italy, and they were investigating those at the time. That's why that news was broken by John Rappaport. I had him on. We talked about that in detail. Oh, but you're not going to get that from ABC News. You're not going to get it from Good Morning America. You're not going to get it from the Drudge Report. They're not going to tell you that. And so even going with their statistics of 600 deaths per million, that is a fatality rate of 0.06%. 0.06%. 0.0006 of a percent. That means that 99.94% of the people who get it don't die from it. And or per million, I should say. 99.94% of the people in Italy did not die from this, even though they locked down the entire country. That's an epidemic? No, it's not. An epidemic is if 6% of the population die from it. Anyway, not if 0.06% die. You know, an epidemic is 100 times more fatal than what happened in Italy. But that's nothing compared to the projections for Colorado from this particular model. I'll tell you about that. We'll take a look at 2020 is going postal, literally. This fight over the post office is amazing. And we'll take a look at the Democrat convention. Stay with us. When we come back, we'll get into this.
Last Saturday, we made a splash. So this Saturday, we're doing it again. At 12 noon on August 22nd, Swimming with Alex Jones will commence again at Barton Springs on the free side, right here in Austin, Texas. And this time, we'll have food. That's right, we're bringing food.
I'm going to pay for a professional food truck.
Yeah!
Ridiculous orders against enjoying the beautiful Greenbelt. Swimming with Alex Jones this Saturday at 12 noon at Barton Springs. See you there.
The free side of Barton Springs. We're going to see everybody out there.
Just a few months ago, almost every storable food manufacturer was sold out. They were still taking people's orders, and many of the companies have still not fulfilled them. All the orders we got in have been fulfilled. Our suppliers, the best, the highest quality, the best containers to transport it as well, and they've got the food with four factories in stock. Takes them 2 to 4 weeks to get it shipped out to you. You need to order your storable food now. The world is much more dire. The economic system is collapsing. The third world's already starving to death. Food prices are exploding here. The farms and the production plants are shutting down because of the COVID hoax. You need to get your storable food while you still can at InfoWarsStore.com. It's a 360 win. It also funds our operation. But you need to get it, whether it's 3 months, 6 months, a year. You need to get that now and have that checkbox off of being prepared and being self-sufficient. We also have high-quality water filtration and air filtration at InfoWarsStore.com. They're absolute must. But whatever you do, ladies and gentlemen, don't wait until a bigger crisis comes. Don't wait till everybody panics. Take action. Get ready now.
Incrementalism. The inchworm effect. Successive approximation. First they tell you only stay in your house for 15 days so the hospitals can stay empty. That was all a fraud. Then wear a mask for a month. Here we are 6 months later. Then they start making people at colleges and at big corporations wear wristbands showing that they've been, quote, contact traced and tested for COVID. Then comes the apps on your phones and the global social credit score. Now being rolled out by Virginia, California, and others. It's not coming, it's here. And then the inoculations, if you ever want to leave your house, which amounts to forced inoculations. This is the medical tyranny takeover. These are not classic vaccines that have their own problems. These are DNA vaccines that change your DNA and are having massive, serious side effects. Guaranteed, this is about depopulation. Bill Gates admits that. This is an emergency. Resist or die. The New World Order is here.
I'm going to say something right now that is one of the most important things I've ever said, so please listen very, very carefully. Donald Trump is not the reason they released COVID or had the lockdown. They already had this plan, the Rockefeller Foundation and Bill and Melinda Gates. It is beyond critical. It is life and death for you and your family to understand, no matter where you live on the planet, that this is a worldwide, world government takeover on record that it's never going to end. The United Nations has admitted that. First it's a month, then it's 6 months, then they say, okay, it's 2 years. They're now saying 2 years. They're now saying you'll never go back to normal. No more gatherings, no more anything. Constant forced inoculations that they admit don't even work. In the way they say they work, they change your DNA. This is the culling of the planet. This is the beginning of the straitjacket being put on you before you're slowly tortured to death and killed. Do you understand?
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Day 155 of America being imprisoned and enslaved. You have the Democrats running their pathetic little Zoom meeting. If you watched it, I'm sorry. You couldn't pay me enough to watch that. But we do have some comments from some blue checks on Twitter who were paid to watch it. Now, I'm sorry. Politics, to me, has now become a cynical exercise in Orwellian propaganda. As long as we're locked down, as long as our businesses are taken away, I don't really care. And you shouldn't either, except at the local level, because that's where you can stop it. Rebuild our society from the local level. The federal government is a cancer that has gotten out of control. I've witnessed my entire life the struggle of independent businessmen to survive and to try to dance between the elephantine feet of a stampeding elephant. And I don't just mean the Republicans. I mean the Democrats, of course, obviously. But the Republicans will step on you as well for their friends, of course. And my grandfathers both had their own business. My father had his own business. I had my own business. And I know that the biggest obstacle to your success is the government. And yet, now the government has just openly, both parties, decided that they're just going to say, you can't operate. You're not essential. Our friends are essential. Our national retail chains are essential. And our national restaurant chains are essential. Our friends are essential. You aren't. You're gone. You're gone. They need to be gone. And we can get them out of our lives, but we have to do it from the bottom up, not from the top down. No Caesar is going to be a benevolent dictator. No Caesar is going to save you from this gigantic cancer that we call Washington, D.C. And so when we look at how this is rolling out in your life, Colorado is a good example. As the Federalist is pointing out, an insane model means that Colorado's COVID-19 policies are essentially based on tarot cards. And it's important that we understand the numbers, because the numbers, we got to do what the numbers say, right? Says Fauci. Yeah, it's not what I say, it's the numbers. See, I got this computer print out here. I don't know how they get away with this stuff. I mean, is it just me? Yeah, when I was in college in the 70s, garbage in, garbage out. See, I got a computer print out here. It's like, okay, good for you. Everybody's got a computer printout in engineering school and computer science and so forth. So what? It's probably wrong. You don't know what you're talking about. And these people don't know what they're talking about here. So what they're saying in Colorado, they're going with a model that is even more radically wrong than the Imperial College of London. The Imperial College of London was based on a false assumption about how this is going to spread. And then it got worse. They programmed it Fortran. Like 15, 16,000 lines of code. And as the college in Edinburgh pointed out, we can't get the same answer out of your model with the same input. There's something seriously wrong with your code. And they said, run it on a slower machine. There is seriously something wrong here. The Imperial College predicted 2.2 million deaths. And that was a model given to President Trump, as he said, by two very smart people. Later, he pointed out those two very smart people were Fauci and Birx. And then we found out that they were using what they were actually using. The other were very smart. They were very smart in how they propagandized and lied to the president and the American people, but the president's still going along with that lie, perhaps using it. And so in Colorado, they have a model that didn't predict 2.2 million U.S. deaths. They predicted 4.5, a little bit more than double million Americans applying their simulated death totals out of the Colorado School of Public Health. And that's the model that the Colorado governor repeatedly uses to impose his draconian policies to reorder society, because it's just a MacGuffin. It could be their phony projections about climate turning into a new ice age, or about global warming going to melt all the polar ice caps. Or let's just forget both of those things. Let's just go with climate change. Or it could be a virus. It doesn't matter. The policies remain the same. And so it doesn't matter what their printout is. There you go. There's some old Hollerith code cards. What a nightmare that was. Oh, man. I remember the computer center that I went to. And this is another example of the fatal conceit of centralization and centralized control. We had one giant centralized computer that all the science students and business administration, all the payroll and all that stuff was run off of this computer. And not only that, but not only University of South Florida, but there was another college that used it as well. Because this thing cost millions of dollars and it was so precious. And so we all would, I would go late at night with my later to be wife to the computer center to hang out because we had to wait in line. They had 16 punch card machines. That was a nightmare. I could type pretty well. I could type about 90 words per minute. But I didn't like typing those things because if you made one mistake, you had to throw the thing out. And if you didn't catch the mistake, your whole program became like one of these Imperial College of London models. And I remember seeing some of the computer science people with a big tray of computer cards, massive tray of computer cards. And one day a guy dropped them. And they have to, of course, all be in order. Each computer card's like a line of code. What a nightmare it was. And they constantly had an IBM guy there because it was, you know, made by IBM. Constantly had a guy there in a white shirt and a tie working on these punch card machines because even though they had 16 of them, they typically had about a quarter of them broken. They were mechanical nightmares as well as the card readers that would chew up your cards. And it's like, oh no, now I've got 1,000 cards here. Now I've got to go back and figure out which one was messed up. Redo that, get back in line and run these things back through the card reader. What an insane approach of centralization. And then we had the personal computer where you had decentralization and you had a computer that was waiting on you instead of you waiting on the computer. And the computer, even though these things were very, very slow, they would sit there most of the time just doing no ops, just waiting for you to hit something. And that's the way it ought to be. And for a while there, it looked like technology had given us freedom and decentralization. But DARPA had other plans. As the internet became more powerful, they've used that now to centralize control of information, to centralize surveillance. And so when we look at this particular computer model, they said following this computer model that the Colorado governor would follow would give them 21 times the death rate of Italy. And the Colorado governor, Jared Polis, said that he and his advisor say their policies are staving off a massive 12,480 deaths per million people. Remember, Italy was 600 reported. Of course, they were all old people. This is kind of like when Obama said, my policies have saved or created this many number of jobs. Now, you can talk about your policies creating jobs, but you can't talk about your policies saving jobs. But that's what these people are doing. The way they manipulate unemployment figures is the same way they manipulate flu figures and always have. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
The social engineers bet on you not having a memory more than anything. And they also bet, because they constantly talk about it in their own words, that you will adapt to being a slave, that you will learn incrementally to submit. So think about and remember the phases of the Fauci fraud. Remember that everything he said has been a premeditated lie. They lied about where it came from. They lied about person to person. The UN covered it all up, then exaggerated the death rate at 4% when it's actually 0.032 now and dropping. Then they set the test up to count almost all false positives. They put the names of people that died of other diseases in the COVID column. They only said there'd be a 15-day lockdown. Now we're 6 months later. Now they say it's permanent. You got to wear masks forever, and forced inoculations are coming, and they're going to track everywhere you go and what you do, the global social credit score, and the UN is the boss, and anybody questioning it is censored off the internet and loses their job. That's called 21st century tyranny. That's called world government takeover. Well, we're 6 months into the COVID-19 lockdown, and now Democrat leaders are calling for people to be charged with attempted murder if they don't wear the masks of the symbols of slavery. And they've triggered their race riots around the country led by white, angry liberal academics and others. And now on top of it, the Democrats are officially saying, hey, Trump's going to try to steal the election and contest it. But then their internal wargaming documents come out with John Podesta at the very top with Kamala Harris and, of course, Joe Biden. And they're saying, oh, we think we're going to lose, but we're going to have the Democrat state secede, claiming that Joe Biden's won the popular vote, and we are then going to set up our own country and ask the military to remove Trump. This is officially in the New York Times. And I don't just believe the New York Times. I've been telling you for over a year, this is their plan from other statements they've made, and the Atlantic Monthly, the Washington Post, the Financial Times of London, and the Council on Foreign Relations. This is their plan. We've got 80 days left to stop it. What are you going to do? I'm serious, folks. This is the time to save the country.
When the corrupt establishment began pushing Joe Biden 2 years ago, they knew he had serious cognitive problems. He has always been an empty suit that does what he's told by the globalists and their allied crime syndicates. Kamala Harris is even worse and does whatever she's told. She's bought and paid for by Silicon Valley, the Chi-Coms, and others. So she has been chosen because she's part African, and now anyone that criticizes her will be called a racist and evil, and she is now above reproach. Ladies and gentlemen, we must expose this monster for who she is. We must expose the fact that she wanted minimum sentences for black people 3 times longer than white people, and that the woman is a monster. Kamala Harris will end up being our president if they're able to steal the election. And she is a 110% New World Order puppet. Now more than ever, we must expose this monster. We must expose the globalists. You hear that? That's the march of the United Nations and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation coming with their battle plan, psychological warfare operation with the forced inoculations and the permanent lockdown of civilization and society. They're outlawing people being able to get colds or the flu. They're creating artificial phobias for normal death that takes place. They're not even promising to have a cure to it all. They're just inflicting new phobias on everyone to bring in their planetary regime directed by the WHO with vaccines that actually change your DNA and make you owned by Microsoft. It's a final frontier. It's the year 2020. It's not coming. It's here. And submission is blood in the water.
You're listening to The David Knight Show. Decoding the mainstream propaganda. You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Okay, I'm spending too long on this computer model. I'm getting into the weeds with this. But there's one more thing, and I think it's an interesting bit of weed. To his credit, Samet, the guy who is running the Colorado Public Health Department, and he has, again, just to recap, he's got a ridiculous model that predicts even more than twice as many, about twice, 4.5 million deaths in the United States if we don't do anything, versus the Imperial College of London's absurd predictions of 2.2 million deaths. And so what he did was he created an app for his model, and they made it available to the public so you can actually run the different parameters yourself. So using the app, reports the Federalist, you can turn social distancing down to zero and see what happens to the deaths. Says, oh, well, then the cumulative deaths spiked to more than 70,000. But don't worry. If you then turn it social distancing to zero, and then if you add masks, and you say, okay, now we're going to have 100% of people in Colorado wearing masks, but we're going to have no social distancing. It drops to 68,000, which says, which shows what these modelers think of the masks. In other words, even these people have their dire predictions, twice as dire as the Imperial College of London's lies. Even they don't think that masks are effective. And the writer for the Federalist, I'm not sure who that is. It's not on the article here. I asked Samet if these many deaths were realistic in a Facebook live question and answer on July 30th. And he confirmed that if no mitigation efforts were taken, that he believed that 70,000 Coloradans would die. How could he have such faith in a model? And the writer says, because of this. Because it is never wrong. It can never be wrong. How is that? Well, it's kind of like the other MacGuffin, climate change. Well, everything is going to, polar ice caps are going to melt or hell is going to freeze over. It depends on which decade you talk to these people, right? And of course, you can't question that because they have authority on their side and their projections are decades out in the future. I mean, this is not the weather report for 3 days, the next 3 days. No, this is a weather report 50 years out, which ought to tell you that they have no idea what they're talking about. But this guy's model for who's going to die in Colorado is even more ridiculous. The model predicts outcomes that range from nobody needing a hospital bed to everyone needing a hospital bed. Whatever the number of hospitalizations occurs, the model spits out a social distancing value that Coloradans must have been practicing in order to cause such numbers. See the logical fallacy here? Since social distancing is hard, if not impossible, to quantify for the entire state, that means that the relationship between social activity, or I should say antisocial activity, social distancing, and the relationship between that antisocial activity of distancing and hospitalizations can never be questioned, rendering the model de facto infallible, the same way their climate models work. You can never test it, and so it can never be wrong, right? It's genius. And, of course, we know that it's right because these are people with credentials and authority. They hold high unelected political positions to rule over our lives, or they've got a lot of degrees from a lot of prestigious universities. The Samet model that Polish uses is, in essence, and the governor there in Colorado, is in essence a modern day equivalent of making human sacrifices in order to gain favor with the gods. If it doesn't rain, the ancient modelers would simply say there hadn't been enough child sacrifices. So today, the modelers simply say there wasn't enough social distancing and suicides. That's where we are. What's up with that? Points out the early spread of COVID-19 appears to be far greater than initially reported. Imagine that. And this is a epidemiological research paper from the University of Texas at Austin that has been published in the UK's Lancet. Patients with undiagnosed flu symptoms who actually had COVID-19 last winter were among thousands of undetected early cases of the disease at the beginning of this year. Epidemiological researchers at UT Austin said it's far more widespread in Wuhan, China, and Seattle and Washington, weeks ahead of the lockdown measures in each city. So in other words, the lockdown was shooting at a target that wasn't there anymore. President Trump, and we'll be talking about the political convention and other issues in this, President Trump says yesterday that the coronavirus is, quote, God testing me, unquote, to build the economy again. I think, President Trump, you got it wrong. Yes, God is testing you. Every day, God is testing each and every one of us, and it's our test. Part of our test is trying to figure out what he's testing us on. I think you got it wrong. I think God is testing you to keep your oath. Your oath you took to the Constitution. Your oath to protect our God-given liberties. It's not about money. And for Republicans, everything comes down to money. Yes, money is a result of us being free. It's not the goal that we pursue. The goal we pursue is freedom. Because if we don't pursue that goal, we won't get the money either at the end of the rainbow. No, God is testing you, President Trump, to keep your oath, to restore law in America, to restore due process in America, to protect that individual liberty that you never even talk about. That's what God is testing you for. And you failed that test. And as far as this economic recovery goes, as I said before, it is not a V-shaped recovery. This is a economic redistribution, the greatest economic redistribution of wealth. The attack on the middle class, as I said yesterday, the looting from above, the lockdown from above. You didn't lock her up, you locked us down. And then also the looting from the bottom, from the Democrats. You know, the other part of this is to tout this recovery, even if it were true. Even if the same people, even if, you know, 60% of the small businesses hadn't gone out of business. Even if all of their wealth hadn't been transferred to a few elitists. Let's say that the same people were able to weather this and they were able to reopen their businesses and so forth. This is still a broken window fallacy. This is President Trump saying, look at this, we're back. Hey, great. That is about as reprehensible as the Chicago mayor, for example, Lori Lightfoot, saying, you know, this is actually good. You know, we had these people go out and they rioted. They went down the Magnificent Mile. They busted out the windows. They tore up the stores. They looted the stuff inside. And look at this. We've got this one store owner who's rebuilt his place twice. He spent $300,000 and they just looted it again. But that's good for the economy. Economists call that the broken window fallacy. The idea that a hurricane or a tornado, that's good, you know, because now we get to rebuild everything that was just destroyed. Or the idea that the looting is good. And quite frankly, the looting from the top is what President Trump is trying to explain away. You can clearly see that with the looting from the bottom. The people going into the stores, destroying the stores, and putting these people out of business. Now, that business owner is suing Chicago. But don't expect them to take any responsibility for what they've done. They never take any responsibility for that. They always say that we've got no responsibility to protect you. And don't expect President Trump to take any responsibility for the damage that he's done either. Because he doesn't believe that he's got any responsibility to protect the rule of law or your individual liberty or to stay faithful to the Constitution either. That's where we are, folks. That's why I say these sham conventions are ridiculous. One pastor, and again, we've talked about several different pastors, John MacArthur holding the services and in the fight with L.A., another pastor who was on city council, resigned when they did the draconian measures and came back. And I've got another pastor who is taking the lead. This is how we're going to get our country back. We're going to get it back. Local leaders, local churches, people who have principles and are going to stand up for those principles and for your God-given rights. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
World order is a planetary corporate plan for world government. But world government is only the control grid. Now, inner members of the cult are told that they are going to transcend and become gods and attain immortality. But the price for that is to carry out the orderly extermination of all carbon-based life forms. That's why they say carbon is bad. They are rewriting the entire genetic code of the planet. They are playing God. They believe they have been inspired by interdimensional entities that are giving them advanced technology to carry out this transformation. I know this sounds insane, but if you read the writings of the globalist, it's all on record. You have been warned. You have been given the information to say no to this plan. This is the end of all life on Earth as we know it. This is the alien takeover of Earth. How do you contest an election in the year 2020? Well, you trigger race riots and you tell the blue states and blue cities when you're the Speaker of the House that you are legitimately now the president. That's what she said on CBS News. And that you're going to have those blue states secede. Yes, that's officially called a civil war, ladies and gentlemen. And the Democrats are backed by the EU, Hollywood, the Chi-Coms, and the whole globalist system. This is treason with a capital T. And our federal government is so paralyzed with cowards, they won't even stand up against it and do anything, even though our president has been exposing it. But here's the bottom line. You need storable food. We've got the best quality ready to ship to you right now. 2 to 4 week delivery. With 80 days out from the election, you need to get high quality storable food right now. In case they are able to pull this off, we're going to have a Great Depression, war on the streets. It'll make a road warrior look like a cakewalk. Get your high quality storable foods now and get ready and get prepared at InfoWarsStore.com. Get prepared.
The United Nations and the National Institutes of Health with the CDC are publicly conducting a 4,000-person study, spending tens of millions of dollars at Yale on 15 ways to brainwash the public into taking inoculations, basically squeezing you and forcing you to take them through guilt, through fines, through not being able to go into stores, not being able to get on airplanes or have jobs. This is forced inoculations. It's public. Gateway Pundit wrote about it last week. David Knight wrote about it this week. Stories up on Infowars.com. So people say, oh, I'll just wear a mask. It's never going to end. That's just the sign of submission. Fauci admits that. Next is the contact tracing and the apps on your phones and the inoculations. That is a DNA vaccine that changes your DNA. This isn't a science fiction movie. It's happening right now. Compliance is death. Compliance is annihilation. Wake up. Wake up.
The answer to 1984 is 1776.
InfoWars has been banned. Arrested.
Arrested.
Attacked and threatened. Because we are effective. The Great Awakening is here. Go to band.video. Download the videos and share. Support the information war at InfoWarsStore.com. And never give up the fight.
Infowars.com. You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Back to the future. We had information teased this morning, and I didn't get to it at the top of the hour. But President Trump teased that he was going to be pardoning somebody. He said very, very important. He said not Snowden or Flynn. So I thought about that. I thought, well, Assange? Would he pardon Assange? Because that would be very important. Assange is also somebody who needs to be pardoned. I think even more so than Ed Snowden. I'm glad that Ed Snowden released the documents. But Julian Assange didn't do anything wrong. Nothing wrong. He gave us information. He gave us information that actually, the truth helped to, help President Trump to win. Why is he being persecuted and executed slowly by the British government at the behest of the American government? So it should have been Julian Assange. Instead, on the centennial of the 19th Amendment, President Trump has now pardoned Susan B. Anthony. President Trump today said that he would pardon Susan B. Anthony, the woman suffragist who was arrested after voting illegally in 1872 and charged a $100 fine as he desperately tried to appeal to female voters. I'm reading from the New York Times, but I put in the desperate. They didn't. How pathetic is this? This is pandering worthy of the Democrat Party. You know, this happened 148 years ago. President Trump said she was never pardoned. Did you know that? She was never pardoned. What took so long? Well, President Trump, nobody besides you thought it was important for 148 years to pardon her, including her. She was guilty for voting. Oh, I like women voting. I love women. I love women. Okay, we get the message. More shameless political pandering, this time from President Trump. How pathetic is this? This is like a sitcom or what? Yeah, we'll get into the pandemic convention here in just a moment. But let me tell you where this is really going to come from. You know, these people are ludicrous fools. And if you lean on the Republican Party, you will find that it is a cane that pierces your hand. All these people in Washington. Here's where it's going to change. This is from LifeSite News. Pasadena, California. California Governor Newsom has been forcing churches in the state to stop all indoor worship, but some pastors are saying no. Pastor Che On of Harvest Rock Church in Pasadena, California, told LifeSite correspondent that God did not give us a spirit of fear, quoting the Bible. In that mentality, the network of 162 churches called Harvest International Ministry filed a lawsuit against Governor Newsom, citing First Amendment rights and being violated. After talking with his attorney, he decided to open up for services back in May. For several months, they have battled the courts, as well as individuals in the community who called the police on them, complaining about large gatherings. On mentioned in the video that they've been meeting since May, and they haven't had a single case within their congregation. He said, while physical well-being is important, they're taking precautions. He's very focused on their eternal well-being. On states that during this time, they've been able to raise $100,000 to give away to various businesses in L.A. just to say, we love you and we want to bless you. The church has also started One Race for Life, a pro-life ministry. They included race in the name for two reasons. First, to show that they're bringing together different ethnic groups to set the example that there is no such thing as race in the body of Christ. Secondly, he said to talk about how it's a race against time to overturn Roe v. Wade. And I'll just interject here. This is not the subject that I'm covering right now, but we'll talk about it later. In Austin, they just kicked, I think it was $150 million. I don't have the article in front of me here. A massive amount of money they took away from the police, and they're going to use it to fund abortion in this city. That's America under Democrats. And we got a whole section to talk about that. What's going on with the renewable energy and the blackouts resulting from renewable energy in California? Yeah, this is what life under Democrats will look like, and we'll talk about that coming up. But Andrew Cuomo spoke last night, and he called the coronavirus the European virus. He said the European virus that infected New York and the Northeast came from Europe. No, that's not true. That's not true. He called it the European virus. Why doesn't he call it? I don't know. You could call it the, it's absolutely ridiculous. You can't call it the Wuhan virus. You can't call it the Wu flu. You can't say it's the Chinese flu, any of that stuff. I mean, we've had the Hong Kong flu back in the 1960s. We had the Asian flu in the 1950s. We didn't shut down the entire country. We had more people die from that. But let me tell you what people are dying from in New York City. We had, in New York City, 50 people shot, 7 of them killed, including a man at a gun violence memorial in New York City. Now, at the same time this is happening, New York City reported 0 COVID deaths for 3 straight days. So over 4 days, they had 50 people shot, 7 people killed. But over the same 3 days, they had nobody die from COVID-19, not even with their presumed deaths. So what do we call that? What do we call that kind of pandemic? Cuomo? We don't call it the Wu flu or the European flu, the white flu or something like that. No. Maybe we call that the Portland virus or the Seattle virus, or maybe we call it the BLM or Antifa flu or virus or something. So you got 7 people killed, 50 people shot. Nobody died from COVID-19. Nevertheless, as CBS points out, even though for 3 days straight, there was 0 COVID-19 deaths reported, now they're setting up checkpoints for visitors in New York. See, nothing is going to stop or slow down the plans that they've had in place for tyranny. It doesn't matter. The MacGuffin doesn't matter. Global warming, global cooling, climate change, a virus, it doesn't matter. None of that stuff has to be real. Not even the one that they're currently gaslighting you about has to be real. They will still go through with their plans. And I had this picture sent to me from a listener. If you want to send me tips, DavidKnightShow@ProtonMail.com. DavidKnightShow@ProtonMail.com. Interstate 95 southbound entering Florida from Georgia. No signs said it was required to stop, but it appeared to be mandatory. And he shows one of these highway signs there. COVID-19 checkpoint ahead 1 mile. Trucks to the left lane. What's going on with that? You know, in Australia, we've been talking about the over-the-top draconian measures. Police can now enter your homes without any search warrant or anything, just to check you out, you know, for COVID-19. Nevertheless, this hotspot reports the lowest tally in months in Melbourne. Infections have been trending down after a second lockdown came in force in the capital of Melbourne early in August. That's not going to stop anything, just like it doesn't in New York. You can have zero deaths, and they still escalate the controls. As a matter of fact, this also is happening in Australia, and it's going to be happening here as well. Already is happening here because this is a global plan. Part of it is to push us into a cashless society so that they can have a universal global ID. That was what Zuckerberg was pushing with his Libra coin. He said, look, in his white paper, I know you guys want to control the money. I'd like to control the money. If you let me control the money, I'll give you a global ID for everybody. You want that. We all want that, right? Even that didn't sell it for him. But that is what they want. And, of course, Bill Gates wants his ID 2020 this year. And then by 2030, he's got the IA 2030, the immunization agenda. Everyone, everywhere, every age vaccinated. And by that, he means every vaccine they can imagine. But what's going on with the cashless society in Australia? They've had the number of ATMs across the nation at their lowest level in 12 years, 25,000 after they just closed 2,150. So they closed about 10% of them. They said, well, we expect the downtrend in cash to continue. Yeah, if you squeeze people from it, you know, if you don't provide coins like the Federal Reserve is doing here in America. Yeah, there's no coins, just lots of cons coming out of the central banking system. People are not happy about that. Some of the people who represent retired people said, look, they don't trust going online because of scams. Other people say banks are being forced to do this. I don't believe that. They wanted to shut them down. They want us to go cashless. Cash is still legal tender, not to mean that all people young and old that would suffer from a cashless society. The banks and the government are pushing this. They use COVID as a way to push this forward. That's exactly what is happening. It's happening globally. All right, we got to take a break. We're going to be back. In the next hour, we're going to talk about the convention. The postal voting system, all these other ridiculous things that are happening. But before we go to break, I just want to remind you about the new sale that we have at InfoWarsStore.com. We have an everyday essentials sale. We have the heart and body combo, Extendawise VasoBeat, 50% off. We have Survival Shield X2 Nascent Iodine back in stock, 50% off. Ultimate Fish Oil back in stock, 33% off. Survival Shield X2, Survival Shield X3 combo, 50% off. Krill oil is now back in stock and on sale. InfoWarsStore.com. We'll be right back.
You can really break civilizations down into two types. Predatory and non-predatory. Or oppressive, conquest-based, or renaissance-based. And, of course, different types of civilizations and countries and political systems of history and of the present are mixes of the two. But with globalism, it is a post-human ideology. So it's scientifically geared to be oppressive. And the rationale is social Darwinism, that the ruling class are elites. And because they're in power, they have a right to rule over you, poison you, dumb you down, sterilize you, and kill you. So all the people wearing masks, like outside at the park and stuff, are living in a total hoax and think their act of submission is an act of working for the common good in a collective. No, it's a sign that you're a slave who will take the forced inoculations. The federal government and Yale are studying the forced inoculations right now.
Last Saturday, we made a splash. So this Saturday, we're doing it again. At 12 noon on August 22nd, Swimming with Alex Jones will commence again at Barton Springs on the free side, right here in Austin, Texas. And this time, we'll have food. That's right, we're bringing food.
I'm going to pay for a professional food truck. Yeah!
Come out and show your resistance to the ridiculous orders against enjoying the beautiful Greenbelt. Swimming with Alex Jones this Saturday at 12 noon at Barton Springs. See you there.
The free side of Barton Springs. We're going to see everybody out there.
You're listening to The David Knight Show. the mainstream propaganda. This is the David Knight Show.
All right, welcome back. As I was pointing out, they're shutting down ATMs left and right in Australia. Here in America, they're pretending that there's a coin shortage. Everybody's hoarding coins, you know, like toilet paper. Oh, gee, I can believe that. Sure, yeah. No. They weren't. They're trying to push you to a cashless society. Everybody knows that in Australia. We know that here in America. And so this coin shortage is a con that is happening here. But we have seen the brutal attacks of people. I showed this to you, was it Friday, I think it was. Showed a lot of clips from Melbourne. Gangs of police on the street grabbing people, choking them, beating them because they didn't have masks. A massive number of people, some of them mounted police as the ones on the ground. There he is, this guy, as they forcibly hold him with his arms behind his back and put a mask on him. Yeah, I can't breathe. Yeah, and look at this. I mean, this is just insanity. And they've had something like 56 people there die out of 5 million. Auckland, New Zealand, completely shut down because they said it's a new hotspot. They had a family of four that tested positive. Nobody died. They tested positive. So they locked down a city of 1.7 million because of four people testing positive for this. This is the insanity. We know there are treatments out there. We've had the white coat doctors say, look, there's treatments. You don't need to be afraid. I've cured hundreds of people. Here's the treatments that we use. They're holding this from you because they want to sell you expensive stuff and to vaccinate you at the end of this. So they punish those people. President Trump should put them on the podium and take Fauci off. Dr. Death. There they are, though. This is the white coats that they used at the beginning. See, they rolled out people in white coats and said, here's our authority. We're dressed in white coats. But they don't care when the people who have been curing people want to talk about therapeutics. No. Can't talk about that. And so let's talk a little bit about the hotspots. We've got a nursing professor explaining how the public health records, health officials rather, are creating hotspots out of thin air. I mean, they don't even really have to try very hard. If you test four people in a family, you shut down a city of 1.7 million people. College Fix. You want to know how a small Florida county with about 2,500 COVID-19 cases and 10 deaths became a hotspot for the disease? And again, that's not necessarily people who are symptomatic. They tested positive for a cold, for flu, or for COVID-19. We don't really know because we're misusing the PCR test. Or how an even more remote Texas county with zero cases until June, and then a trickle within the past few weeks, but no deaths at all. Also set off federal alarm bells. Amy Anderson, a nursing professor at Texas Christian University, explains how public health officials are distorting statistics. You know, the numbers on virus to promote a transparently false narrative that small population centers in red states are ground zero for so-called hotspots. Want to know how you become a hotspot? Yahoo News reporter Sharon Weinberger won't tell you, but Anderson and Badger will. Amy Anderson, the nursing professor, and Badger, who is the former White House advisor. In this case, the CDC defined a hotspot as a county with the most cases per 100,000 population over the most recent two-week period. The metric is prone to designate sparsely populated counties reporting temporary spikes in cases as being hotbeds of coronavirus infection. More importantly, it provides no insight as to the nature of the quote-unquote outbreak in these counties. There's nothing, for example, especially remarkable about Columbus County, Florida's numbers, except that it reported nearly 500 cases over 2 days in July, more than half of those from a prison outbreak. Real County, Texas, population 3,400, got on the shame list. I should call it the sham list. Despite a county caseload under 20 and thus exempt from any state COVID-19 mandates. They got on that list because of an out-of-nowhere spike of 50 cases on a single day due to an outbreak in a local nursing home. Nobody, even in the nursing home, died, thankfully. But what is being killed is your freedom, the rule of law, and the Constitution. We'll be right back.
Incrementalism, the inchworm effect, successive approximation. First they tell you only stay in your house for 15 days so the hospitals can stay empty. That was all a fraud. then wear a mask for a month. Here we are 6 months later. Then they start making people at colleges and at big corporations wear wristbands showing that they've been, quote, contact traced and tested for COVID. Then comes the apps on your phones and the global social credit score, now being rolled out by Virginia, California, and others. It's not coming, it's here. And then the inoculations, if you ever want to leave your house, which amounts to forced inoculations. This is the medical tyranny takeover. These are not classic vaccines that have their own problems. These are DNA vaccines that change your DNA and are having massive, serious side effects. Guaranteed, this is about depopulation. Bill Gates admits that. This is an emergency. Resist or die. The New World Order is here.
In a world of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, The David Knight Show.
So as the Democrats are holding their dour Zoom convention, their pandemic convention, as that is happening in Wuhan, the site of the, ground zero for this, as we're told, it wasn't the wet market, but it was a water party in Wuhan. A massive water party as the coronavirus concerns are receding. And yet we've got the Democrats locking down with kind of like, you know, medieval monks badgering, beating themselves on the back like Monty Python's Holy Grail. And slapping themselves on the back, punishing everybody here. And I got this email at the same time from one of the listeners. Said we got an email from one of our Chinese suppliers, and we asked him about that. And she said, well, the party that you watched on the web, everybody will take temperature and show health code. Then you can come in and you can party. Hey, look at that. That's the social credits right there. You know, if you comply with all of the stuff and wait a minute, what's this health code thing? Well, we've talked about that before. You get a health code. This was instituted at the very beginning of this. If it's green, it means, as she says, if it's green, it means you're health. You are health. If it's yellow, it means you got fever. A few days ago, government has record. Then you can't go anywhere until rest results said you're not infected. So don't worry. Ha ha. And I don't know if ha ha is her commentary or if ha ha is her name. Because I know that's a common thing. My daughter was called Tao Tao, and they, Ling Ling, and everybody had a double name. So maybe Ha Ha is really her name. I don't know. Nevertheless, this health code. Everybody in China has a health code. This is all instituted to get us tracked. And that is what's being pushed out here in America as well. So happy days. There you go. They're all in the little, no social distancing and everybody's there. It's not a wet market, but it's a wet party right now. They're all in the pool together, but that's okay because they had their temperature checked and their health code checked. And if it's green, you can come in and you can look. If the government likes you and you do everything they say, you take your tests, you get your vaccines, you wear your masks, you get the green code. You get to go to the water party. Meanwhile, in Arkansas, we have the National Guard transporting COVID-19 patients to isolation facilities. Oh, no problem, says Fox News. It's just for the people who don't have a home to go to quarantine. So we're going to have the National Guard transport them to an unnamed isolation facility. Should we call it a FEMA camp? Is this where the FEMA camps come in? We have university students are asked to play Corona Cops. This is from Campus Reform via Zero Hedge as colleges across America are, quote unquote, reopening for in-person learning this fall. Some of them are asking students to report their peers who might not be following guidelines. Yeah, you can call them Corona Cops. I call them Stasi snitches in training, of course, because you know, that's what college is. It's finishing school for Marxists. The University of Miami has set up a system where students are encouraged to report concerns about unsafe behaviors, quote unquote, of their peers. Texas A&M has a similar system. Faculty members and administrators can file a report if they're concerned that someone else on campus has COVID-19 or has come into contact with somebody who has COVID-19. In the same way, as President Trump said, well, if you're an American, we're still not going to let you back in the country. If somebody at the port of entry suspects that you might have come in contact with somebody with COVID-19, how do they know that? How do these TSA agents with the blue gloves know that? Well, it doesn't matter. They don't have to prove anything. You don't have any due process. You don't have any freedom. You don't have any God-given rights. You just got government-granted privileges. And we may grant you the privilege of coming back into the country, but I don't know. We'll have to look at your social media account first. That should tell us whether or not we like you. Tulane University also has a system where university members can report problematic behavior. I'd like to report some problematic behavior from Tulane University. Where do I file that report? Because, you know, it was Tulane University that did the Tuskegee experiments, giving syphilis to black people and not treating them. It's Tulane University that's been sending researchers to the center of the Ebola outbreaks in Africa as well. And it was at Tulane University, at the National Primate Center, where they were doing gain-of-function research on a very rare but deadly bacteria called Burkholderia pseudomallei. And they decided that they would make it more deadly and more easily spread. And guess what? It got out of their biosafety level 3 lab. I would like to file a complaint against Tulane. I'd like to file a complaint against the National Institutes of Health and Fauci, who's continued to fund gain-of-function research that is both illegal and unethical and should be prosecuted as a war criminal. This is the thing that nobody wants to talk about. Oh, well, look, I think it came from Wuhan. Well, possibly did. Possibly was geoengineered. This time around, they didn't get it right. But they're going to continue if we don't shut them down. And nobody is talking about shutting down these transhumanists. That's the other part that they're doing. You know, Fauci and Collins are working on what they call the Human Connectome Project to map out your brain signals, because they believe, I don't know if they're right or not, they believe that they can map you out, and I don't think they are. They're atheists. They don't understand the human soul. They think they can transport you if they map out and replicate your brain waves. I mean, these people are scary, satanic, Nazi scientists, and they need to be shut down, and nobody's even talking about that. That's one of the more pathetic things about this whole incident. Even people who will talk about what's going on in Wuhan, they won't talk about this. They won't talk about the people who funded it, Fauci. As Tulane University said, do you really want to be the reason that Tulane and New Orleans have to shut down again? Well, okay, then let's stop the reckless, unethical, unlawful gain of research, gain of function research that's going on there at Tulane. We don't want anything to get out, Tulane University, so why don't you shut down your research program that you're running so carelessly there? Yale University is encouraging students to make reports concerning COVID-19 to the university hotline. University of North Georgia has set up a COVID-19 concern for others form. A concern for others. So all you have to do is, I'm concerned for your well-being. And I think I need to do an intervention. Yeah, that's what the liberals call it, isn't it? Southeastern Legal Foundation claims that the form may violate a student's right to privacy. Yes, it will. And could possibly censor speech. They said, I can imagine that this would be used to prevent controversial speakers from visiting campus. You know, I'm concerned about them. I think they've been somewhere where they might have been exposed to, you know, coronavirus. So let's shut them down and ban them. Without stricter reporting guidelines, they say, and limits, it appears that such events could be shut down entirely with just the press of a button, because that's the way this whole thing is designed to work. The University of Denver is taking things a step further, requiring students to install an application on their mobile devices that will track their location to aid with contact tracing. And two Ivy League academics urged universities not to make students the coronavirus police in a New York Times op-ed. Well, that would be nice, but that is happening everywhere, nevertheless. The UK is asking for more high-risk and minority patients to sign up for COVID-19 vaccine trials. They're looking particularly for black and Asian minority ethics, because having been the subject of many of these eugenicist experiments, having been the focus of Planned Parenthood's black genocide, they're somewhat suspicious. The saddest thing is that the white people are not. You ought to be just as suspicious. They want to kill you as well. At least some of the people of color understand. You don't. I mean, if there is a, I don't know about white privilege, but there certainly is a white blindness to this. And, you know, just to show you how they use this MacGuffin for any and every one of their favorite things, you've now got a congressman wanting the FDA to ban e-cigs because he said they're a COVID-19 hazard. This is Representative Raja Krishnamoorthy. I guess I pronounced that right. I don't know. Says he's from Illinois. Sounds like he's from India. But anyway, he wants the House Oversight Subcommittee and the FDA to ban e-cigs. Maybe that's the way they do it in India, Raja. That's not the way we do it in America. There's not even any authority for the FDA to tell us what medicines and foods we can have. But we'll be right back. Stay with us.
I'm going to say something right now that is one of the most important things I've ever said, so please listen very, very carefully. Donald Trump is not the reason they released COVID or had the lockdown. They already had this plan, the Rockefeller Foundation and Bill and Melinda Gates. It is beyond critical. It is life and death for you and your family to understand, no matter where you live on the planet, that this is a worldwide, world government takeover on record that it's never going to end. The United Nations has admitted that. First it's a month, then it's 6 months, then they say, okay, it's 2 years. They're now saying 2 years. They're now saying you'll never go back to normal. No more gatherings, no more anything. Constant forced inoculations that they admit don't even work in the way they say they work. They change your DNA. This is the culling of the planet. This is the beginning of the straitjacket being put on you before you're slowly tortured to death and killed. Do you understand? You hear that? That's the march of the United Nations and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation coming with their battle plan, psychological warfare operation with the forced inoculations and the permanent lockdown of civilization and society. They're outlawing people being able to get colds or the flu. They're creating artificial phobias for normal death that takes place. They're not even promising to have a cure to it all. They're just inflicting new phobias on everyone to bring in their planetary regime directed by the WHO with vaccines that actually change your DNA and make you owned by Microsoft. It's a final frontier. It's the year 2020. It's not coming. It's here. And submission is blood in the water. Just a few months ago, almost every storable food manufacturer was sold out. They were still taking people's orders, and many of the companies have still not fulfilled them. All the orders we got in have been fulfilled. Our suppliers, the best, the highest quality, the best containers to transport it as well. And they've got the food with four factories in stock. It takes them 2 to 4 weeks to get it shipped out to you. You need to order your storable food now. The world is much more dire. The economic system is collapsing. The third world's already starving to death. Food prices are exploding here. The farms and the production plants are shutting down because of the COVID hoax. You need to get your storable food while you still can at InfoWarsStore.com. It's a 360 win. It also funds our operation. But you need to get it, whether it's 3 months, 6 months, a year. You need to get that now and have that checkbox off of being prepared and being self-sufficient. We also have high-quality water filtration and air filtration at InfoWarsStore.com. They're absolute must. But whatever you do, ladies and gentlemen, don't wait until a bigger crisis comes. Don't wait till everybody panics. Take action. Get ready now.
I've talked to the EMS and I've talked to medical doctors, and what makes you nauseated, it's not just the smell of the piss. What we call the smell of bum piss, that has that sweet, nauseating smell.
I wouldn't say sweet.
Well, it does. It has a sweet stench. It makes me want to throw up like rotten meat. It is the crap of dust mites.
Have you noticed the stench of bum piss in your leftist-run neighborhoods? The crap of dust mites in bum piss is a real thing, and InfoWars Store has the solution. InfoWars has created the most powerful herbal lung cleanse and respiratory support product on the market. With over 1,000 types of mold and mildew, toxic chemicals, and yes, dust mites. Our Lung Cleanse Plus, made with organic and wild cultivated herbs, is just what you need to survive the unprecedented surge of bum piss and other toxic substances in liberal leftist cities everywhere. Order the InfoWars Life Lung Cleanse Plus supplement today at InfoWarsStore.com.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
We're going to get to the convention coming up in the next segment. But before we do, I've got one last thing here I want to say about masks. You know, we had Sharon Stone coming out blaming mask refuseniks because her sister has been hospitalized with COVID. Now, I wish her sister well, but this is a perfect example of the kind of propaganda campaign that Yale wants to run. You know, this is Sharon Stone, by the way. The irony of an actress who became famous for not wearing panties, shaming other people for not wearing face masks. You know, you had full facial nudity. Shame on you. Unbelievable. Yeah, you know, this, we've had these psychologists, the so-called bioethicists, talking about how they're going to get all of you defectors, you know, not refuseniks, but that's what The Guardian calls us. But refuseniks is what they say, but it was defectors that these bioethicists kept using. And they said, you know, we need to give them a pill to make them comply with all these different regulations that we're coming up with. Just make them pacified. And then the debate was not whether or not that was ethical or not. The debate was whether or not they should do it covertly or overtly. They're going to do it. They just, you know, we don't care about your informed consent. We don't believe that you are a human being that deserves either freedom or dignity. No, we're going to give you the pill. The question is whether or not we tell you about it or not. Do we do it secretly or just in your face? And so here you have Sharon Stone saying, my sister Kelly, who already has lupus, now has COVID-19. This is her hospital room. One of the non-mask wearers did this. Now, how did she know that? How did she know that this was done by a non-mask wearer? But see, this is exactly what the Yale study that I read to you, they've actually, a month ago, they were actually the beginning of July, they had a massive study, 4,000 people involved. They took a group and they would show them different messages. They would have two different groups. One group was a control group. They would ask them about their attitudes towards COVID-19 regulations and mandatory vaccines. And it was really mandatory vaccines that they were focused on in this Yale study. And so they would ask the control group that hadn't been shown a message what their attitude towards vaccines were. And then they had messages that were tailored to different aspects that they're going to use to propagandize you to get a vaccine. So they had guilt, they had shame, they had anger, they had blame, they had arguments from authority and arguments from science, allegedly. And the fact that you had to do this to protect other people, how are you going to feel if somebody gets sick because you didn't comply, because you didn't get a vaccine? So that's what we're talking about here with the mask. So I say the mask is the placeholder for the vaccines that they're manufacturing right now, the untested vaccines that they're right now manufacturing, that they're going to push on you, that they're going to gaslight and propagandize you about. They're going to shame you. They're going to make other people angry at you if you don't get your vaccine. But see, it's not them getting the vaccine. It's you getting the vaccine, just like with her. Well, the people who didn't wear a mask got my sister sick. Well, why didn't your sister wear a mask if she's got lupus and a compromised immune system? She doesn't have any responsibility? Do the masks not work? I mean, that's the most ridiculous part about this, but that's exactly the same narrative that they give us about the vaccines. Your vaccine doesn't protect you. Your vaccine protects other people. Because we know the vaccines don't work and we know the masks don't work, so everybody's going to wear them. What? How is that non sequitur sold to people? As a matter of fact, I wonder if she's on lupus, if she's on hydroxychloroquine. That's been a standard treatment. But by the way, that's not going to be enough. She needs to take the hydroxychloroquine plus zinc, Sharon. I really would like to see her survive, even though you are wrongfully blaming other people and engaging in this propaganda campaign. She goes on to say, can you face this room alone? Wear a mask for yourself and others. Yeah, that's right. She said that her husband, her sister's husband, is also fighting for his life, she said, in a coronavirus ward. Well, maybe she got it from her husband. Maybe it wasn't from somebody who didn't wear a mask. Could that be the case? Well, I don't know. I did have a listener send this to me. I guess this is an exclusive, said this is not on any social media anywhere, but this is a lawsuit that's been filed in Tulsa, Oklahoma, against the local government there with their mask mandates. Dr. Robert Zellner, Dr. James Meehan, both MDs, and many Tulsa-based business owners, and I will be hosting a press conference to announce the filing of our lawsuit against the Tulsa mayor, the executive director of the health department, and the city council there in Tulsa to immediately repeal mask mandates. The lawsuit states the court should invalidate and repeal ordinance number, I've got the number here, from the city of Tulsa called the Tulsa Mask Mandate because face coverings create an oxygen-deficient atmosphere, which the U.S. Department of Labor, OSHA, defines as an atmosphere with oxygen content below 19.5% by volume. That's the point. You have OSHA and other organizations, and all of them have said, OSHA says, you can't keep people in a mask all day like this, deprive them of oxygen. And yet now they're saying, we'll do that, because they don't care about your individual health. They don't care about your health at all, quite frankly. Doctors, scientists, and other medical professionals will line up in court to demonstrate and testify that face coverings lower oxygen level in the immediate atmosphere, someone wearing face coverings. And so they're going to basically, which is what we ought to do, use the rules and regulations of the government against the government, right? So wait a minute. You can't have these mandates from the local health departments because we've got OSHA saying that this is going to make people sick, and it does. But we should also use that other regulation called the Constitution to say we have human rights, and you don't get to treat every one of us as if we are Typhoid Mary without any proof. You would at least give us due process before you quarantine us to make sure that we're even sick. It begins. You have workers now claiming that mask wearing causes headache and shortness of breath and anxiety, reports TargetLiberty.com. I've contacted OSHA, government officials, and Walmart, none of whom have been able to point me to any scientific study showing that there are no side effects from wearing masks for an extended period of time. None have been able to explain to me the science upon which they provide an exemption to those with certain medical conditions, which implies that masks somehow impede normal breathing. Draconian mask wearing orders are not based on any science, but on poorly thought out orders that rip individual choice away from us all. And that's the point. It's training. It's training to make you subsume your individual health, your individual liberties to the group, because you don't matter. And if no individual matters, then the group doesn't matter either. I state once again, the body expels waste in three forms: liquid, solid, and gas. And masks block the gas waste from properly leaving the body, and it results in mask wearers breathing back in the waste. And you know, by the way, Eric Peters always calls it a face diaper. Imagine if you wore a diaper all the time as an adult and you never took it off. Yeah, you would get a rash. A lot of other things would be happening, wouldn't it? Same thing with your face mask, and we've already seen this. We've seen this reported from doctors. They call it mask mouth. We've seen facial breakout on people's faces. It is very unsanitary. It must be stopped. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
The New World Order is a planetary corporate plan for world government. But world government is only the control grid. Now, inner members of the cult are told that they are going to transcend and become gods and attain immortality. But the price for that is to carry out the orderly extermination of all carbon-based life forms. That's why they say carbon is bad. They are rewriting the entire genetic code of the planet. They are playing God. They believe they have been inspired by interdimensional entities that are giving them advanced technology to carry out this transformation. I know this sounds insane, but if you read the writings of the globalist, it's all on record. You have been warned. You have been given the information to say no to this plan. This is the end of all life on Earth as we know it. This is the alien takeover of Earth. The social engineers bet on you not having a memory more than anything. And they also bet, as they constantly talk about it in their own words, that you will adapt to being a slave, that you will learn incrementally
to submit. So think about and remember the phases of the Fauci fraud. Remember that everything he said has been a premeditated lie. They lied about where it came from. They lied about person to person. The UN covered it all up, then exaggerated the death rate at 4%, when it's actually 0.032 now and dropping. Then they set the test up to count almost all false positives. They put the names of people that died of other diseases in the COVID column. They only said there'd be a 15-day lockdown. Now we're 6 months later. Now they say it's permanent. You got to wear masks forever. And forced inoculations are coming. And they're going to track everywhere you go and what you do, the global social credit score. And the UN is the boss. And anybody questioning it is censored off the internet, loses their job. That's called 21st century tyranny. That's called world government takeover.
Nancy Pelosi, Eric Holder, Joe Biden, Hillary Clinton, and the list goes on from there, have all gone on national TV, have all gone on the internet, and have been in the pages of the New York Times that they're wargaming, contesting the election when they lose. They know there's a landslide. If they're unable to steal it, they're planning to contest it and have Democrat blue states secede and hold their own treasonous inauguration for Joe Biden and the other puppet Kamala Harris. This has now been announced. And they're going to use race war and rioting as the cover to try to drive Trump from office. The Democratic Party, the Chi-Coms, the deep state are using Black Lives Matter, funded by Soros, as their cover to claim that if you resist their attempts at creating artificial riots and martial law, that you're racist. When in truth, an old Nazi collaborator, George Soros, created Black Lives Matter along with Antifa. America's fighting for its life, but we will win. This is a maximum alert, a maximum alert. As of taping this alert, we are 82 days out from the election. As many of you know, in the last year, I've pointed out statements out of the Council on Foreign Relations and other globalist organs that they know Trump is going to win in a landslide. So their strategy will be to contest the election if they fail to successfully steal it. Then they are openly now wargaming. This is in the New York Times. Having Democrat states and cities secede from the union, just like they've ignored Trump's policies on coronavirus and kept their areas locked down. That is nothing but a dress rehearsal. They are saying they're going to have their own separate inauguration, not in D.C. They said in another city. Pelosi has said this when they crown Biden and Kamala Harris. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the organized civil war. This is their public criminal plan. We should be praying. We should be spreading the word. We should be demanding Trump go on the offense to expose this criminal activity.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Just vote for the Democrats. You'll get your mandatory face mask, your mandatory vaccines, your immunity passports to make sure that you've complied, your black reparations taxes. Free stuff for everybody. Freedom for no one. There you go. Remember the old happy days when you had corn pop there and you were a lifeguard, Joe, and you had all those kids come up and touch your blonde, hairless legs. Roll Joe, reminiscing
by the way,
about
you know,
those
I
happy days.
I got hairy legs that turn, that turn blonde in the sun. And the kids used to come up, reach in the pool, and rub my leg down so it was straight, and then watch the hair come back up again. They look at it. So I learned about roaches. I learned about kids jumping on my lap. And I've loved kids jumping on my lap.
Yeah, he loves that. Well, you know, there's no kids jumping on his lap. They did have some kids who were singing the national anthem. And it brought tears to the eyes of the people that were watching it, they said, the Democrat fans. I don't know if nobody was taking the knee when they were doing that, when they were singing that racist national anthem that they've worked so hard to purge. I just don't understand the double message here. But AP, on the eve of this, was asking, can a virtual convention generate excitement? Well, now we know. No, it can't, actually. You know, this excitement had gone out of the Democrat Party a long time ago, going back to December the 19th. Remember that? Remember before the lockdown and the new normal that they're demanding on everybody? The Democratic primary debate audience has dwindled, reported CNN at the time. Because it's nothing but candidates regurgitating well-rehearsed lines about politics. And that's exactly what we got a lot of last night. As a matter of fact, it was even worse than that. There was no audience. There was no involvement. There's no life to it because it's not live. It's all virtual, right? And here's some of the comments put together here. You got Marco Rubio. Little Marco had an interesting comment. He said, brilliant move on Twitter. Said, no one is more in touch with the challenges and obstacles faced by everyday Americans than actors and celebrities, except for politicians. They're about as out of touch with what's going on as the actors and celebrities. Marco, have you thought about how you're going to end the lockdown yet? Or are you that out of touch as well? Anyway, Mark Hemingway pointed out, tonally and aesthetically, this DNC convention feels eerily similar to an NPR pledge drive. Oh, no, that's a good one. That's exactly what it was. And as I look at these comments that were put together by the Daily Caller, Twitter comments, it looks like everybody that they focused on here were blue check marks. I mean, are these the only people who are watching it, people who were paid to watch it? You know, you couldn't pay me to watch this trivial tripe because it's nothing but a bunch of Orwellian propaganda. That's what has really happened with politics now. A good example of it is the carping by Marco Rubio. Yeah, they're just going to talk about each other, but they're not going to talk about what they have done to us. Both parties have done to us and continue to do to us as they lock us down. As I've said before, never has our life been controlled more by government and by politics. And yet, ironically, never has an election meant less. Why? Because the people who are controlling us through the government, we don't get to vote for. We don't get to vote for the public health individuals. And the people that we do get to vote for, like Marco Rubio, aren't talking about the real issue. Freedom, the Constitution, the rule of law, and how you are looting the middle class from above while the Democrats loot us from below. Even a Washington Post reporter said it was like watching a national Zoom meeting. Another one, Philip Klein says, not saying this was an easy task, but I don't know how any persuadable voter would sit through this. Another individual said, watched for 5 minutes. Sorry, I did my best. And that person has hashtag Biden Harris 2020 as part of their name. They support the Joe Camel ticket. And they couldn't watch it for more than 5 minutes. Marianne Williamson, you remember her, the candidate to the lunatic witchcraft party, wing of the party. She said it was like binge-watching a Marriott commercial. Yeah, I imagine so. But the most interesting thing was the fact that they forgot to turn off the comments on their live convention stream. And Daily Caller caught it. They didn't turn off the comments until halfway through their little live stream convention. And here's some of the things that people were saying. Kanye West, 2020. This dude looks like a lady. Teleprompter National Convention. Here come the alphabet people. LGBTQ plus. Democrats are such hypocrites and so forth. And that was the kind of comments that were going up on their live stream. The screenshot they had there, it was all negative comments like that, trolling comments. And they didn't know enough to turn them off. I guess maybe that was a job of Joe or something. He forgot to do that too. Five takeaways from the first virtual Democrat National Convention, says U.S. News. Actually, it's Reuters article. They said they traded raucous cheers in a crowded arena for speeches delivered from quiet locations across the country. Pre-recorded speeches, by the way. Pre-recorded speeches. Much of this week's convention will be about showcasing the cultural and racial diversity on which the Democrat Party prides itself. Yeah. Let's all watch more of that, right? And so they talked about the high points, the five takeaways. They said Bernie Sanders is all in. Sanders made it clear on Monday that he's fully behind Team Biden. And, of course, We've had other politicians in the Democrat Party holding press conferences and saying, some of the most radical Marxists in the Democrat Party, saying Joe is movable. We can get Joe to do whatever we want. And they will, because he doesn't exactly know where he is or what's going on. Another takeaway, they said, Michelle Obama delivers a searing attack. What a surprise. And quite frankly, I think she's got her eyes on the prize. 2024 nomination, that's what she wants. She'll do her part, appear to do her part, but I think the Obama people did not want a real ticket. That's why you've got Joe Camel ticket that you have here. They don't want to have somebody that is going to keep her from running in 2024. Another takeaway, says Reuters, is racial justice. Oh, yeah, they're going to highlight racial justice. Empathy, they're going to have, they had a person on. They said they thought the strongest thing last night was a man who lost his first, that was somebody else saying the strongest thing last night was Kristen Urquiza. This is what CNN said. The daughter of an Arizona man who lost his life to COVID-19 delivered the single most powerful moment of the first hour. Oh, but not to be ignored by Michelle Obama's speech, of course. And it's empathy that they're selling. You know, Joe Biden lost his first wife and his infant daughter in a car accident. He lost his son to brain cancer. Well, I'm sorry that happened to him, but that happens to everybody. It's not a qualification for being president. Just any more than Kamala's skin color or sex is a qualification for her being vice president. And so when we have Michelle Obama, she took on President Trump, and President Trump then came back after Michelle Obama. Some of the things that she said was, she said, you know, I hate politics. I had never noticed that she hated politics. Let's play what President Trump had to say about Michelle Obama's fake speech.
You know, I noticed at their convention tonight, these are all taped speeches. Michelle Obama, her speech is taped. Why don't they tell me that? I'll tape my speech next week. I'll tape it. It's a lot easier. I'll make sure it's perfecto. Every word will be perfect. If I don't do it, I'll give it 5 or 6 goes. I'll say, pick the best one. What is this? They're taping their speeches. I just learned that her speech is taped and that most of them are taped. I don't know. We'll have to speak to Republican leadership and say, let's tape those speeches. You want to go to a snooze? You know, when you hear a speech is taped, it's like there's nothing very exciting about it, right? So I just heard that coming in. I expected to see, you know, and Fox will broadcast them more than they broadcast us. You know that.
It's all about style, isn't it? Who cares about substance anymore? We won't even attack them for the lack of substance. We won't even attack them for their identity politics.
The answer to 1984 is 1776.
InfoWars has been banned. Arrested. Attacked and threatened. Because we are effective. The Great Awakening is here. Go to band.video. Download the videos and share. Support the information war at InfoWarsStore.com. And never give up the fight.
InfoWars.com.
The United Nations and the National Institutes of Health with the CDC are publicly conducting a 4,000-person study, spending tens of millions of dollars at Yale on 15 ways to brainwash the public into taking inoculations, basically squeezing you and forcing you to take them through guilt, through fines, through not being able to go into stores, not being able to get on airplanes or have jobs. This is forced inoculations. It's public. Gateway Pundit wrote about it last week. David Knight wrote about it this week. Stories up on InfoWars.com. So people say, oh, I'll just wear a mask. It's never going to end. That's just the sign of submission. Fauci admits that. Next is the contact tracing and the apps on your phones and the inoculations. That is a DNA vaccine that changes your DNA. This isn't a science fiction movie. It's happening right now. Compliance is death. Compliance is annihilation. Wake up.
I'm going to say something right now
But it's one of the most important things I've ever said, so please listen very, very carefully. Donald Trump is not the reason they released COVID or had the lockdown. They already had this plan, the Rockefeller Foundation and Bill and Melinda Gates. It is beyond critical. It is life and death for you and your family to understand, no matter where you live on the planet, that this is a worldwide, world government takeover on record, that it's never going to end. The United Nations has admitted that. First it's a month, then it's 6 months, then they say, okay, it's 2 years. They're now saying 2 years. They're now saying you'll never go back to normal. No more gatherings, no more anything. Constant forced inoculations that they admit don't even work. In the way they say they work, they change your DNA. This is the culling of the planet. This is the beginning of the straitjacket being put on you before you're slowly tortured to death and killed. Do you understand?
Last Saturday, we made a splash. So this Saturday, we're doing it again. At 12 noon on August 22nd, Swimming with Alex Jones will commence again at Barton Springs on the free side, right here in Austin, Texas. And this time, we'll have food. That's right, we're bringing food.
I'm going to pay for a professional food truck. Yeah!
Come out and show your resistance to the ridiculous orders against enjoying the beautiful Greenbelt. Swimming with Alex Jones this Saturday at 12 noon at Barton Springs. See you there.
The free side of Barton Springs. We're going to see everybody out there.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Yeah, they're kind of like tarot cards, aren't they, at this point? the satanic agenda. And also the randomness of, what's going to happen next. We don't know because there is no rule of law. We're being ruled by people that we don't elect. And even though they swear to uphold the Constitution, Democrats and Republicans don't care if they do. As a matter of fact, we'll just kind of, throw this up in the wind and see which way it's blowing and what we can get away with. And so forget about the lock her up. They locked us down. And we're going to get back to the DNC, unconventional convention, the pandemic pandering of last night, the identity politics and all the rest of the filth that was on display in a very lifeless form. And the most lifeless political convention of the most lifeless, brainless political candidate who's ever run for office is what we're looking at here. Pathetic. And President Trump has played right into their hands. I mean, one of the things that really energized Trump and his bases were the in-person appearances. And he's afraid to do that now. Afraid of the carping criticism from these people. Just a little bit too thin-skinned, President Trump. Let's talk first before we go. Well, let's go ahead. Let's go into the Democrat convention. As Joe Biden is trying to score identity politics points, he does an interview with Cardi B. And he can't remember how many grandchildren he's got. How do you expect him to remember anything that's in the Constitution? Well, it doesn't matter because going back to the 1980s, he was openly contemptuous of the principles that were used to establish this country, laid out in the Declaration of Independence, our natural rights, our human rights, our God-given rights. Oh, there's no such thing as natural rights. What's the matter with you, Clarence Thomas? That's my big objection to you. Now, he didn't care about the he said, she said thing, and that really got the left and the feminists all upset about that. Same feminists and leftists who cared so much about the unwitnessed allegations about talk that Anita Hill brought against Clarence Thomas. And then those same people, Anita Hill and Gloria Steinem and all of them, they were defending Bill Clinton within a couple of years against allegations, very, very credible allegations, where they had people lined up to back that up. They defended, these same accusers of Clarence Thomas defended Bill Clinton over accusations, repeated accusations, multiple people violently raped, sexually assaulted by Clinton. Yeah, Anita Hill did that. Anyway, Town Hall senior columnist has now been banned from Twitter for criticizing Joe Biden. This is where we are, folks. And this is their great hope. They don't have a candidate. They don't have a platform that anybody cares about. But they do have the media. They have the establishment media, and they have social media. Marina Medvin, senior columnist at Town Hall, caught a 7-day Twitter ban for criticizing Joe Biden. Medvin is a journalist. She expressed an opinion. Now, this is from the postmillennial.com. This is their opinion. I agree with them. Twitter called this, quote, abuse and harassment. She commented on an article from the Catholic News Agency, which discussed the fact that Biden counts his Catholic faith, the Pope, and nuns as part of his inspiration. Nevertheless, and that was on a video that was put out by the Democrat National Committee August the 9th, and yet he continues to use the legal system to badger the Little Sisters of the Poor who do not want to submit to the contraceptive mandate of Obamacare. So this journalist for Town Hall went on a rant. She said, what is his problem? What kind of person sues nuns? I can't stand this creep. Between the sniffing and the suing and the deceit, there's nothing worthwhile. He's a completely worthless human being. Trash, decay, scum. He brings with him nothing but sorrow and theft. Okay, rant done. And yes, the rant was done because then she got blocked for that rant. For that rant. Now, remember, we had Hillary Clinton calling all of us deplorables. Now they're calling us defectors, right? Because they don't want the mask rules. We don't want social distancing mandates, and we don't want vaccine mandates. So we're now defectors. We've gone from deplorables to the communist term, defector. And so, you know, Twitter said, please note, repeated violations may lead to permanent suspension of your account. Now, I wonder, you know, that we've just passed the 2-year banniversary of us on social media program, as well as, you know, Facebook and YouTube and these other places, Alex Jones everywhere. And of course, they stepped us up for everybody and got a active shadow ban on my account, but I'm still there. Still there on Twitter if you want to follow me for the time being, Libertarian. I'm also on Parler, that same moniker there, but Libertarian. But I wonder if this reporter for Town Hall, since it is Town Hall, and that's National Review, they kind of trashed us. Oh, yeah, you guys deserve it. And we said, it's your turn next. And that's exactly what has happened. This is rolled out. They did it to us 2 years, you know, 2 years ago, just before the midterm elections in 2018. And then 2 months later, they banned 800 different independent sites. And most of them were Trump supporters, but not all of them. The common thing they had was that they were against the police state, the surveillance state, and unending wars abroad. That was the common denominator. And so if you don't stand up for free speech, this is what happens to you, Town Hall. And I think this is an injustice. And clearly, you know, these are the people, Jack Dorsey at Twitter, saying we are the free speech wing of the Free Speech Party. They were all given Section 230 immunity to say, well, you know, you're not going to be responsible for the stuff that other people put up, but you're going to be a neutral platform. And Jack Dorsey said their business model was the public square. They're not a mall. They're not a retail store. You don't expect to be able to go into a retail space and politically campaign. But in the public square, that right has been established. And if you're going to call yourself a digital public square, as he has repeatedly, if you're going to call yourself the free speech wing of the Free Speech Party and you tell people that's what we're about, you at the very least have deceived people because that's not at all what they're about. Folks, we really do appreciate your support, by the way. 2 years running, and you've stood behind us. And the way you do that is with the products that you buy at InfoWarsStore.com. We try to make that as affordable as possible to make it a win-win situation. We've got another sale right now, the Everyday Essentials sale. We have things like Heart and Body Combo, 50% off. That's ExtendoWise and VasoBeat. VasoBeat, just concentrated beet juice. Safe, natural, effective. discounted now, 50% off in this combo pack. We call it VasoBeet because concentrated beet juice acts as a natural vasodilator. That's what we call it, the heart and body combo. We have Survival Shield X2, nascent iodine, back in stock now, 50% off. Ultimate Fish Oil, back in stock, 33% off. Krill Oil is 17% off and selling out quickly. Take a look at the products that we have at InfoWarsStore.com. We really do appreciate you standing with us, even though many people in the Republican media didn't think that free speech was worth supporting 2 years ago. And now they're getting the censorship themselves. So as we look at this, and CNN, of course, has said that Biden was up by 14%, but now he's only up by 4%. Now, of course, if it's true, and we have to believe CNN, what caused that 10% drop in a very short time? Well, it may be Kamala Harris herself. Not very popular with black voters. No way, say many black voters. Very upset about it. As a matter of fact, before this, on the eve of him announcing her, as is being rumored that she was his pick, I recall seeing on social media Herschel Walker, a famous black running back, kind of saying, don't go with somebody that has criticized you. Don't go with somebody that is against your program. In other words, Kamala Harris. There's other aspects of this as well. The fact, as Dinesh D'Souza has pointed out many times, he listed all the 200 slaves that were owned by Kamala Harris's great-great-great-grandfather. And the fact, as he points out, very interestingly, her father, Donald, a Stanford professor, wrote in an article in a Jamaican magazine several years ago claiming, in fact, sort of boasting, that he was descended from the largest slave owner in Jamaica. One of the largest slave owners in Jamaica, a fella named Hamilton Brown. You know, that Hamilton. You want to sing and dance about Alexander Hamilton, probably the worst of the founding fathers? Well, there was another Hamilton, Hamilton Brown, the ancestor of Kamala. That's the way you pronounce it. Kama, or chameleon. Her grandfather and her father boasted about that. They still like that. But then there's other issues here as well. Religious people don't like her too much. The people who like law and order don't like Biden too much either. We'll talk about those when we come back. I think maybe all these things are factors in a 10-point drop. But, you know, this all happened with the Joe Camel ticket, that it had the precipitous drop. So we'll be talking about that when we come back. Stay with us.
Attention, attention, attention to anyone that still wants to live in a free country. The New World Order, Chi-Com Globalist Syndicate, is making its move to implode the dollar and thrust the United States into a civil war by contesting the election. They are openly wargaming this at the highest levels of the Democratic Party. Nancy Pelosi and others have gone on television and said they will contest the election. Trump is going. They will hold a separate inauguration for Biden and Kamala Harris, and that anyone challenging that will be called a racist. They will then trigger race riots and violence. They've already beta tested around the country. We are not living in normal times. When these type of things happen in history, people are usually caught flat-footed because they can't believe they're living in such a criminal era. We are. We are living in the period where this criminal globalist syndicate that's been feeding on America is being exposed and removed. Now is the time for all good men and women to come to their aid of the country. Spread the word now, Paul Revere's.
You can really break civilizations down into two types, predatory and non-predatory, or oppressive, conquest-based, or renaissance-based. And, of course, different types of civilizations and countries and political systems of history and of the present are mixes of the two. But with globalism, it is a post-human ideology, so it's scientifically geared to be oppressive. And the rationale is social Darwinism, that the ruling class are elites, and because they're in power, they have a right to rule over you, poison you, dumb you down, sterilize you, and kill you. So all the people wearing masks, like outside at the park and stuff, are living in a total hoax and think their act of submission is an act of working for the common good in a collective. No, it's a sign that you're a slave. Will take the forced inoculations. The federal government and Yale are studying the forced inoculations right now.
You're listening to The David Knight Show. reverse engineering the high-tech takeover plan. This is The David Knight Show.
All right, so we have to take seriously what CNN says now, right? Because, you know, they have a monopoly on information. And they're saying that Joe Biden has dropped from a 14-point lead to a 4-point lead. And so it should take that seriously. They're not depressing the poll numbers so they can show that he gets a bump from the convention or anything like that. But I think he really has taken a hit. The question is why? And is it because of months of rioting? Well, I don't know. The one where he was ahead by 14 points was conducted in early June. And so now there's been a couple of months of rioting. And then, of course, there's also been, as we see, the fact that he picked Kamala Harris. Black voters don't like that. She is it's phony identity politics. She was trumpeting herself as the first Indian American for president. And now she's becoming the first black American woman for president. Her father is black from Jamaica, not from America. And as Dinesh D'Souza pointed out, the claim about African-American, being African-American, is the experience of coming from a history of slavery to most of these people on the Democrat Party. That's what they hang their hat on. And yet she didn't have that. They had exactly the opposite situation. They own slaves, and they're proud of it. And so that might be a problem. So she's got problems with people who don't like their cities being burned down, many black people as well. And, you know, along that line, the St. Louis couple who drew the guns on the protesters, they're going to be at Trump's virtual convention as well to speak, because they have become somewhat poster children for those who want to be able to defend themselves against violent incursions of the radical left, Antifa, BLM, and so forth. And so, yeah, it could be law and order. It could be the phony identity politics. It could be the fact that she locked up so many black people as attorney general in the war on drugs. It could be the fact that maybe they're now taking a look at what she had pointed out about Joe Biden, you know, and the laws that he set up to lock up black people. I mean, they are the most, if we're going to talk about an out-of-control police state, they are the poster children, Joe and Camel. Camel Joe ticket. So it could also be the anti-religious aspects of Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris. As Breitbart News has pointed out, Harris is openly anti-Catholic bigot. And it's not only been on full display when she was in U.S. District Court nominee hearings over Brian Buescher. His embrace of Catholic teachings on abortion and gay marriage, she said, that disqualifies you. And she also talked about his membership in the Knights of Columbus as being disqualified. But beyond that, she's been a longstanding ally of Planned Parenthood, and she was the one who met with Planned Parenthood after David Dalyden and the Center for Medical Progress exposed the trafficking in body parts by Planned Parenthood and abortionists. And oh, by the way, guess who their biggest customer was? Not the biggest, but who a big customer was. The National Institute of Health. Fauci and Collins, the same people who locked us down. They had outstanding orders for baby body parts that were being fulfilled by Planned Parenthood. That came out in this trial. Why are they under trial? Oh, because Kamala never decided that that was a crime. Murdering babies to get their body parts, that was not a crime. Recording it and exposing it, that's the crime. And I think it's kind of interesting that because she decided to proceed with this hearing, that we found out even more information about who their customers were at the NIH. She's also sought to roll back provisions for conscientious objection in the 1993 Religious Freedom Restoration Act. They don't support any freedom on any issue. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk about the election going postal. Everything in this country is going postal, so why not the election? We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Incrementalism, the inchworm effect. Successive approximation. First they tell you only stay in your house for 15 days,
so the hospitals can stay empty. That was all a fraud. Then wear a mask for a month. Here we are 6 months later. Then they start making people at colleges and at big corporations wear wristbands showing that they've been, quote, contact traced and tested for COVID. Then comes the apps on your phones and the global social credit score, now being rolled out by Virginia, California, and others. It's not coming, it's here. And then the inoculations, if you ever want to leave your house, which amounts to forced inoculations. This is the medical tyranny takeover. These are not classic vaccines that have their own problems. These are DNA vaccines that change your DNA and are having massive, serious side effects. Guaranteed, this is about depopulation. Bill Gates admits that. This is an emergency. Resist or die. The New World Order is here.
In a world of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
Ask you something. Well, what do you do for a living, Newman?
I'm a United States postal worker.
Aren't those the guys that always go crazy and come back with a gun and shoot everybody?
Sometimes.
Why is that?
Because the mail never stops. It just keeps coming and coming and coming. There's never a let up. It's relentless. Every day it piles up more and more and more, and you've got to get it out. But the more you get out, the more it keeps coming in. And then the barcode reader breaks, and it's Publishers Clearing House.
All right. Just take the records. They're in the bedroom. Take them. Take anything you want.
Yeah.
All right. There he is. Yeah, that's Newman. Newman? Yeah. What do you do for a living? I'm a postal worker. Aren't those guys that go postal? Yeah, they're going postal now. And so is our election. Everything in this society is going postal in 2020. So why not the election? Again, that's Wayne Knight. No relation. why can't we trust postal workers with our ballots? And spectator.org makes the case of why we can't. They said the two largest postal worker unions have endorsed Joe Biden for president. If you're queasy about entrusting the U.S. Postal Service with a vastly expanded role in our electoral service in the midst of a crucial election, the following news will exacerbate your nausea. Last Friday, the National Association of Letter Carriers followed the lead of the American Postal Workers Union by endorsing presumptive Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden. Now, I don't know which one of those Newman belongs to, but you can bet that Newman is for Joe Camel ticket. What we really need to be worried about is the kind of chicanery the politicized USPS routinely perpetrate in states like Washington, which has had its all-mail-in elections for years. As a matter of fact, in Washington, the local postal workers attach partisan campaign material to the mail-in ballots. Recently, Alicia Rule, a Democrat candidate for the 42nd Legislative District, was dumb enough to post the following on Facebook, quote, "Ballots arrived today. Mine was carefully tucked together with a flyer by our neighborhood postal worker. I'm reminded of just how much support we have because even that postal workers union has endorsed our campaign." And she's now under investigation by the U.S. Postal Service Inspection System. Yeah, it looks like mail fraud, Jerry. Gonna have to bring you in here for questioning. Remember that episode? Anyway, I got Biden ballots here. I got Biden ballots. See, nobody cares. That was his other famous role as Dodson in Jurassic Park. But yeah, the postal workers are solidly behind Joe Biden. And by the way, so is Twitter. As I pointed out, you know, they just put a 7-day suspension on a town hall journalist because she questioned Joe Biden's hypocrisy by saying, oh, yeah, I just find the Catholic Church and the Pope and nuns to be so inspiring. So they are just the inspiration of my life. And yet he's suing nuns, the Little Sisters of the Poor, who don't want to be coerced into buying Obamacare contraceptives plans. And then we see what happened on elsewhere on Twitter. The Babylon Bee was suspended over this postal issue. Yeah, Jack Dorsey went postal on a satire site. They put up, they went dark about 6 p.m. last night, you know, just before the virtual Democrat convention. And so you got, you know, Twitter out there searching around to see who they can purge. Archives showed that the last tweet from Babylon Bee was a story about President Trump, quote, riding around in an SUV, smashing mailboxes to make it impossible for people to mail in their ballots. And they also had another tweet up. Brilliant. Trump puts himself on all the postage stamps, forcing Democrats to push for abolishing the U.S. postal system. And again, that actually, it's hard for Babylon Bee to stay out ahead of the absurdity that has become real life in 2020, because I just read for you the fact that they're putting in materials supporting the candidates. The postal union is doing that in Washington state. So yeah, would that be any different for President Trump to put himself on a stamp? So, when we look at this, and as they ban Twitter for those particular satires there, what is being allowed by Twitter at the very same time? Twitter is allowing the conspiracy theory that the post office mailboxes are being locked up to prevent Americans mailing in their ballots to spread unchecked on the platform, despite intensifying censorship of conservatives. They're allowing this to happen. So they have this satire article from Babylon Bee saying that Trump is driving around playing mailbox baseball for the last voter suppression scheme. And then that's a satire. But then this phony conspiracy theory being pushed out by people like former NBA star and leftist Rex Chapman posted a picture earlier today of locked postal mailboxes in Burbank, California, insinuating that the boxes have been locked recently, calling it a disgrace and an immediate threat to American democracy. And that's what they were parodying. So they take down the parody of that and they leave that up. You understand, right? That ridicule is the most effective weapon. I hope you understand that, because that's what Saul Alinsky understands. And that's why they take down these satire sites. You know, you've got other Democrats going postal about the busted mailbox thing. Matt Visor tweets out, Joe Biden denied on reports of mailbox removals. Quote, I wonder if you're outside trying to hold down your mailboxes. They're going around literally with tractor trailers, picking up mailboxes. You ought to go online and check out what they're doing in Oregon. I mean, it's bizarre. Yeah, okay. Well, you know, what is bizarre is the fact that they're able to get away with propaganda and lies like that because they have a monopoly on information for most people. When we look at people's comments about Twitter, quote-unquote, accidentally suspending Babylon Bee, because they came back and said, all right, we'll put you back. It was an accident. Sorry. They have, as Amber Athey pointed out, the Babylon Bee, Titania McGrath, Jarvis DuPont have all been restricted or suspended by Twitter, and all are obvious satire accounts. It just goes to show these people have no sense of humor. And we know that, right? The, you know, they've come after, you got British comedians like Rowan Atkinson, Mr. Bean, John Cleese from Monty Python. I mean, they're taking on the political left over their humorless censorship. And they don't like satire sites either, like these three that just mentioned. Meanwhile, there have been no consequences for Chinese propaganda accounts that spread actual misinformation. Dan Coates says Twitter is experiencing rolling blackouts on any satire that is not from the left. That's true. Babylon Bee responded to this after they got back on. They said, in case Jack, may he live forever. Jack, may he live forever. In case he doesn't reinstate us next time, toss a coin to your local friendly neighborhood satirist of the Babylon Bee. And, of course, as they took them down, it had been trending, as one person pointed out. It was trending 2 minutes ago, and now it's not even there. Not even there. Now, here's some of the absurdity. You want some satire? Again, how do you outdo the left?
as they go about their daily political business. When you got a massive group of people who are protesting in person, roll that clip. These are people who are out protesting about the fact that they don't want there to be any in-person voting. So they're doing in-person protesting of in-person voting. They've got kind of masks on their face. They've got cloth bandanas, which do nothing but accelerate that. And, of course, they're not practicing social distancing. But they're protesting in person, not voting in person. We'll be right back with more leftist satire.
Just a few months ago, almost every storable food manufacturer was sold out. They were still taking people's orders, and many of the companies have still not fulfilled them. All the orders we got in have been fulfilled. Our supplier's the best, the highest quality, the best containers to transport it as well. And they've got the food with four factories in stock. Takes them 2 to 4 weeks to get it shipped out to you. You need to order your storable food now. The world is much more dire. The economic system is collapsing. The third world's already starving to death. Food prices are exploding here. The farms and the production plants are shutting down because of the COVID hoax. You need to get your storable food while you still can at InfoWarsStore.com. It's the 360 win. It also funds our operation. But you need to get it, whether it's 3 months, 6 months, a year. You need to get that now and have that checkbox off of being prepared and being self-sufficient. We also have high-quality water filtration and air filtration at InfoWarsStore.com that are absolute must. But whatever you do, ladies and gentlemen, don't wait until a bigger crisis comes. Don't wait till everybody panics. Take action. Get ready now.
You hear that? That's the March of the United Nations and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation coming with their battle plan, psychological warfare operation with the forced inoculations and the permanent lockdown of civilization and society. They're outlawing people being able to get colds or the flu. They're creating artificial phobias for normal death that takes place. They're not even promising to have a cure to it all. They're just inflicting new phobias on everyone to bring in their planetary regime directed by the WHO with vaccines that actually change your DNA and make you owned by Microsoft. It's a final frontier. It's the year 2020. It's not coming. It's here. And submission is blood in the water.
Well, we're 6 months into the COVID-19 lockdown, and now Democrat leaders are calling for people to be charged with attempted murder if they don't wear the mask of the symbols of slavery. And they've triggered their race riots around the country led by white, angry liberal academics and others. And now on top of it, the Democrats are officially saying, hey, Trump's going to try to steal the election and contest it, but then their internal wargaming documents come out with John Podesta at the very top with Kamala Harris and, of course, Joe Biden, and they're saying, oh, we think we're going to lose, but we're going to have the Democrat states secede, claiming that Joe Biden's won the popular vote, and we are then going to set up our own country and ask the military to remove Trump. This is officially in the New York Times, and I don't just believe the New York Times. I've been telling you for over a year, this is their plan from other statements they've made in Atlantic Monthly, the Washington Post, the Financial Times of London, and the Council on Foreign Relations. This is their plan. We've got 80 days left to stop it. What are you going to do? I'm serious, folks. This is the time to save the country.
I'm going to say something right now that is one of the most important things I've ever said, so please listen very, very carefully. Donald Trump is not the reason they released COVID or had the lockdown. They already had this plan, the Rockefeller Foundation and Bill and Melinda Gates. It is beyond critical. It is life and death for you and your family to understand, no matter where you live on the planet, that this is a worldwide, world government takeover on record that is never going to end. The United Nations has admitted that. First it's a month, then it's 6 months, then they say, okay, it's 2 years. They're now saying 2 years. They're now saying you'll never go back to normal. No more gatherings, no more anything. Constant forced inoculations that they admit don't even work in the way they say they work. They change your DNA. This is the culling of the planet. This is the beginning of the straitjacket being put on you before you're slowly tortured to death and killed. Do you understand?
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
the postal system has become the center of the political infighting in Washington. And, you know, it was the last real election that we had was Tuesday, March 10th. And you had voters in five states that went to the polls in a normal election. And the outcome of that is that Reason Magazine points out it's probably the last approximately normal election night that America will have this year. I don't know what they're going to do in the future. You know, everything probably be online. As a matter of fact, the postal system is now talking about, hey, we've got a blockchain way to do this. Uh-huh. Yeah. You trust that? We'll talk about that here in a moment. But March 10th, because this all started about the 16th, 17th of March, we're now 155 days into this lockdown. We've got virtual political conventions like Zoom. We've had about 60% of the businesses go out of business and their employees along with them, turned into welfare recipients, looking for a stimulus handout. The government is spending $1 trillion a month to do that. And no talk from people of either party about stopping any of this. And why? Because, I mean, they're not the ones doing it. They're just sitting back and letting the unelected bureaucrats, like Fauci, who's been there for 35 years, letting him run the country. And so that was the middle of March. As I say here, on March 10th, the last moment of what was seeming normalcy, there was a sixth state that also had its primary votes tallied. That was Washington State, 1.5 million people. Biden squeaked out ahead with just 21,000 votes. Nearly every vote there was cast by mail because Washington then was conducting their election almost entirely by mail because of the coronavirus panic that had hit them. And now that is going to be doing it to everybody. And so when you look at the way the left is freaking out about this and also the right is freaking out about this, you know, the satire that Twitter had. Oh, look, he's taking away the mailboxes. Babylon Bee. Yeah, President Trump is doing a drive-by battering of mailboxes with a baseball bat. This is his last-minute way to win and so forth. They got kicked off for doing that. But they also talked about the fact that, you know, President Trump decided that he was going to get the left to shut down the postal system by putting out a postage stamp with his face on it. Well, kind of like that. You know, you got CNN complaining that voters in North Carolina received absentee ballot request forms in the mail with Trump's face on them. See, it's just like the Trump postage stamp thing. You can't out-satire CNN. Person said, is this a joke? Are you going to let the Democrats silence you? Act now to stand with President Trump. This is a political ad. This is something that has always been done by both parties. But see, CNN... these people there, they turn it into some kind of a conspiracy theory. Look, he's hacked the post office. He's used the post office to send out political ads. Can you imagine that? Oh, the perfidy of the Trump administration. There is no end to this orange man bad. So what is the difference between absentee ballots and mail-in ballots? Well, we've always had absentee ballots. They were basically for people who were going to be out of country or out of state. Maybe going to school somewhere else or something, or you're in the military, right? They would also add if you're sick or something. But now, you know, with the mail-in ballots, there's no excuse. You know, you just vote by mail or whatever. And normally that shouldn't be a problem. The only thing is that we've seen Democrats who are so desperate to have this. We've seen ballot harvesting. That should be concerning because we've seen in the past, you know, Democrats push for no voter ID. Now, we don't want any picture ID. We just want you to show up, give us a name and address, and here you go. That's what happens in North Carolina. And, of course, North Carolina also has early voting, the longest voting period of any state. Of course, I don't know what's going on now with all the mail-in stuff and everything. But they always use that, you know, motor voter registration. We got, got a driver's license? Well, we'll register you. Here's a fake driver's license, by the way. We got a bunch of these that just came in from China. We can put your picture on there. All of these schemes, no picture ID, motor voter registration, vote early, vote often, as a matter of fact. Yeah. All of these things have been used by the Democrats in the past. And, so that makes us all a bit suspicious. Even Chris Wallace, the Fox News anchor who has gone all out to attack President Trump on every issue, whether the president is right or wrong. He said, isn't it possible that the president really has a point here? Yes, DNC communications director, you know, about voter fraud when these things are mailed out and about the ballot harvesting that they do. He says, as I mentioned earlier, there were 33 million either absentee or mail-in ballots in 2016. If we have to double that or to triple that, isn't there a pretty good chance that we'll have a mess at the least, or yes, even possibly fraud? And as Zero Hedge points out, after appearing stunned for a split second, the DNC spokesperson, Mo Elathy, I think is the way you pronounce his or her name. I don't know. It's a guy. I don't know. Look, I don't think it is certainly likely that there would be challenges if the president continues to kneecap the Postal Service. We have robust mail-in voting operations. That's right. We all trust the post office, don't we? As a matter of fact, on Sunday on Meet the Press, the moderator said that the U.S. Postal Service is the most respected institution in America. Did you know that? That's why they lampooned them incessantly on Seinfeld, because we all have so much respect for the postal system. You know, it's right up there with the DMV as models. I remember when Harry Brown ran for president, he said, would you give up your favorite government program in order to not pay any income tax? Just think about that. Would you give that up? And some people say no. He said, well, what is your favorite? Well, you know, the postal system or the weather service. The weather service, the post, are you kidding? That's the best you can come up with as an excuse for government? That's the best argument to shut it down that I've ever seen is the postal service. Anyway, went on further to say that it has been that way for decades. Yeah. You know, ever since they had to establish a monopoly in order to shut down Lysander Spooner back in the mid-1800s, because he said, are you kidding me? I can do a much better job of this. One guy. I can set up something. And he did. He competed so effectively with the post office, Lysander Spooner did, that they had to pass a law saying it's illegal for you to put anything in a mailbox if you're not Newman. And, of course, we know that Newman got behind and he stored all that stuff back in his house. But anyway, the postal slowdown sparks claims of a plot to undermine the U.S. vote. Yes, this could be the case. Let me tell you what the biggest issue is. It's not the money, how they're bleeding cash. The biggest issue, and they're kind of inserting themselves into this at the moment, is going to be electronic voting. And now the U.S. Postal Service has just filed a patent for blockchain-based secure voting system. And that's something that really should concern you. Yet another tactic to rig the election. And this is lets them rig it from top to bottom to your local elections as well, very easily. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
The New World Order is a planetary corporate plan for world government. But world government is only the control grid. Now, inner members of the cult are told that they are going to transcend and become gods and attain immortality. But the price for that is to carry out the orderly extermination of all carbon-based life forms. That's why they say carbon is bad. They are rewriting the entire genetic code of the planet. They are playing God. They believe they have been inspired by interdimensional entities that are giving them advanced technology to carry out this transformation. I know this sounds insane, but if you read the writings of the globalist, it's all on record. You have been warned. You have been given the information to say no to this plan. This is the end of all life on Earth as we know it. This is the alien takeover of Earth.
When the corrupt establishment began pushing Joe Biden 2 years ago, they knew he had serious cognitive problems. He has always been an empty suit that does what he's told by the globalists and their allied crime syndicates. Kamala Harris is even worse and does whatever she's told. She's bought and paid for by Silicon Valley, the Chi-Coms, and others. So she has been chosen because she's part African, and now anyone that criticizes her will be called a racist and evil, and she is now above reproach. Ladies and gentlemen,
We must expose this monster for who she is. We must expose the fact that she wanted minimum sentences for black people 3 times longer than white people, and that the woman is a monster. Kamala Harris will end up being our president if they're able to steal the election. And she is a 110% New World Order puppet. Now more than ever, we must expose this monster. We must expose the globalists.
How do you contest an election in the year 2020? Well, you trigger race riots and you tell the blue states and blue cities when you're the Speaker of the House that you are legitimately now the president. That's what she said on CBS News. And that you're going to have those blue states secede. Yes, that's officially called a civil war, ladies and gentlemen. And the Democrats are backed by the EU, Hollywood, the Chi-Coms, and the whole globalist system. This is treason with a capital T. And our federal government is so paralyzed with cowards, they won't even stand up against it and do anything, even though our president has been exposing it. But here's the bottom line. You need storable food. We've got the best quality ready to ship to you right now. 2 to 4 week delivery. With 80 days out from the election, you need to get high quality storable food right now. In case they are able to pull this off, we're going to have a Great Depression, war on the streets. It'll make a road warrior look like a cakewalk. Get your high quality storable foods now and get ready and get prepared at InfoWarsStore.com. Get prepared.
The social engineers bet on you not having a memory more than anything. And they also bet, because they constantly talk about it in their own words, that you will adapt to being a slave, that you will learn incrementally to submit. So think about and remember the phases of the Fauci fraud. Remember that everything he said has been a premeditated lie. They lied about where it came from. They lied about person to person. The UN covered it all up, then exaggerated the death rate at 4%, when it's actually 0.032 now and dropping. Then they set the test up to count almost all false positives. They put the names of people that died of other diseases in the COVID column. They only said there'd be a 15-day lockdown. Now we're 6 months later. Now they say it's permanent. You got to wear masks forever. And forced inoculations are coming. And they're going to track everywhere you go and what you do, the global social credit score. And the UN is the boss. And anybody questioning it is censored off the internet and loses their job. That's called 21st century tyranny. That's called world government takeover.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
In a world of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. You're listening to The David Knight Show.
So the postal system has taken the center stage now in the election, even more so, I think, than the virtual Zoom pandemic unconventional convention that's going on right now. Nobody cares about that. But, of course, you've got people that are rioting at the home of the Postmaster General. They swarmed the Washington, D.C. and North Carolina homes of Postmaster General Louis DeJoy. Democrats accused President Trump and DeJoy of interfering with the 2020 election. Why? Because he was appointed by Trump. And never mind the fact that the two major unions for the postal carriers have now openly and enthusiastically endorsed Joe Biden and the Joe Camel ticket. On Saturday, an activist group called Shutdown D.C. swarmed his home in D.C., blowing air horns and demanding action and a wake-up call and a noise demonstration against his quote-unquote dismantling of the postal system to rig the system in favor of Trump. This is getting insane. Yeah, the postal system is always running out of money and always running out of time. You know, they need more time to raise rates. They need more time to deliver the mail and so forth. And now you've got hearings where he's going to be publicly pilloried by the Democrats. And then they plan a Saturday vote to prop up the Postal Service to give them another $25 billion in funding. And so this has all become the center of this because, you know, the answer to everything is to throw more money at it. You know, if you don't believe that, just ask the Democrats. Reason doesn't believe it, by the way. They say a coronavirus bailout will not save or even fix the U.S. postal system. The $25 billion bailout is unlikely that any amount of cash is going to be enough to stabilize the agency's finances. Now, this is what happens. See, when you centrally control something and you have the government run it, guess what? You can't do it economically. No surprise there, as a matter of fact. A big part of the problem is the fact that the postal workers, and I imagine, you know, Newman is now retired. And he's drawing a pension fund. And the pension fund has $50 billion in unfunded liabilities. $50 billion. You know, remember, that used to be a lot of money. I remember Everett Dirksen, who was very, very old when I was very, very young. He said, $1 million here and $1 million there. Pretty soon you're talking about real money. Well, you know, now we're talking about $1 trillion here and there. We don't really, so, you know, billions, that's nothing. We can easily handle a $50 billion unfunded liability. We just print some more paper. Meanwhile, the fund that covers health care expenses for retired postal workers is facing a $69 billion unfunded liability. Okay, so we're, you know, 119. Okay, we can still handle that. No problem. Just put it on the $1 trillion tab this month. So we'll see. We'll see. It's an outdated system, and it should be privatized. It should not be a monopoly. Whenever you have monopolies, it creates these issues. The monopoly was put there in the 1840s, and quite frankly, there's a reason for that. The postal system was one of the ways that they, there's Newman. The postal system was one of the ways that they would spy on you without a search warrant. And you know, we had the church committee hearings. That's why they came up with the FISA Act, Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, that then they used to come after President Trump and, you know, to try to spy on. And it was supposed to prevent them from spying on people domestically. It expressly prohibited that, you know, just like we have express prohibitions against taking people's free speech, their life, their liberty, but that doesn't stop the government from doing anything. We have the Ninth and Tenth Amendment that expressly prohibit them doing a lot of things that they're doing, but they don't pay attention to that. But they had express prohibitions against that because already, you know, the CIA and the NSA were using the telephone system to spy on people. They also used the mail system. They could put a mail cover on you. And they could get the postal system to keep a list of everybody that sent you a letter and everybody that you sent a letter to. And that was about as good as opening up the letters and reading them. Because it's about the metadata. Always has been. Now they've been able to weaponize that in a high-tech way. And so when we look at this, I think one of the things that we ought to be concerned about is this U.S. postal system. Just filing a patent, actually they didn't do it back in February 7th, filing a patent system for a blockchain-based secure voting system. Let's let Newman explain that to you. Run video clip number two, guys.
The transfer, me, I know it! 2 hours, give me 2 hours.
It's not gonna happen!
All right. All right. All right, you go ahead. You go ahead, you keep it secret. But you remember this. When you control the mail, you control information.
Yeah, that's right. And they're going to control the election. How about that? You want the Postal Service with their letter carrier unions, both of them, heavily Democrat? Of course they're heavily Democrat, because Democrats are going to give them everything that they want, including $120 billion more in pensions than they can afford. Yeah, they're going to control the election. Now, they say they're going to do it honestly through blockchain-based secure voting system. They filed a patent for this going back to February the 7th of this year. Now, as Leo Hedge talks about this, they said, well, understand, they put this out there even before the pandemic, so it may not be related. I disagree. I think that if you go back and you look at the Model State Emergency Powers Act, Emergency Health State Powers Act, whatever the order, I've talked about it so many times of getting which order the letters are, but it was a model for the states to give emergency powers under a health condition to local bureaucrats to shut down everything, which is what we're living under right now. That was proposed a few months before, not this episode, a few months before 9/11. And then they used the panic and the fear around 9/11 to push that out to the different states to get them to authorize these kinds of draconian powers that are now being used against us. And then they ran simulations on an annual basis to train them to do it. Enact every kind of draconian legislation and speed up the vaccines, because if you don't, everybody dies. And you didn't do it enough. You didn't do it. You didn't put down the draconian restrictions quickly enough, and you didn't authorize a vaccine quickly enough. And so, see, according to our simulation, everybody died, and it's your fault. It's your fault. And so they've been training people to do that. So when they roll these things out in a long-term plan. So the fact that they did this on February the 7th, that does not indicate that they didn't, that this is not part of this COVID plan. It's part of the plan. All this stuff goes back to 9/11. Two false flags, one plan. And all these things like cashless system, paperless elections, and so forth. Now, see, I know qualitatively a little bit about the blockchain. I'm not an expert on this. The problem is that you don't know what this is either. And you don't know if this can be hacked or not. And I've talked to William Binney, who is an expert on hacking. William Binney was the global technical head for the NSA for several decades. And when I asked him about secure communications and things like that in the wake of what we saw from James Clapper, he said, well, it's all about the metadata. But he goes, beyond that, if we want to get into anybody's account, we can get into anybody's account anywhere. There isn't any encryption that can keep us out. And he ought to know because he's broken every encryption. And if you think that you're going to vote electronically and it's going to be secure, then you need to go back and look at the history of electronic voting. You know, the very first electronic voting company was Smartmatic. It was created by two friends of Hugo Chavez in Venezuela. And they have a long list of rigged elections, both in Venezuela as well as Central and South America and the Philippines. And Smartmatic was brought in the United States. It's actually Republicans brought them in to run the Republican primary in Utah and other things. They've now changed hands, and, you know, it's this shell game that they use. So they say it's not us anymore. It's not me. We've got a totally different game, and we're now honest. But it doesn't matter whether it's Smartmatic or some of these other. You can see how easy it is to rig any of these electronic voting schemes. And you should be very, very concerned about that. That's the real scheme that you need to be worried about, because they can rig every ballot from top to bottom and across the country from a central location electronically. Same reason we get rid of paper currency.
I'm going to say something right now. That is one of the most important things I've ever said, so please listen very, very carefully. Donald Trump is not the reason they released COVID or had the lockdown. They already had this plan, the Rockefeller Foundation and Bill and Melinda Gates. It is beyond critical. It is life and death for you and your family to understand, no matter where you live on the planet, that this is a worldwide, world government takeover on record that it's never going to end. The United Nations has admitted that. First it's a month, then it's 6 months, then they say, okay, it's 2 years. They're now saying 2 years. They're now saying you'll never go back to normal. No more gatherings, no more anything. Constant forced inoculations that they admit don't even work in the way they say they work. They change your DNA. This is the culling of the planet. This is the beginning of the straitjacket being put on you before you're slowly tortured to death and killed. Do you understand?
The United Nations and the National Institutes of Health with the CDC are publicly conducting a 4,000-person study, spending tens of millions of dollars at Yale on 15 ways to brainwash the public into taking inoculations, basically squeezing you and forcing you to take them through guilt, through fines, through not being able to go into stores, not being able to get on airplanes or have jobs. This is forced inoculations. It's public. Gateway Pundit wrote about it last week. David Knight wrote about it this week. Stories up on Infowars.com. So people say, oh, I'll just wear a mask. It's never going to end. That's just the sign of submission. Fauci admits that. Next is the contact tracing and the apps on your phones and the inoculations. That is a DNA vaccine that changes your DNA. This isn't a science fiction movie. It's happening right now. Compliance is death. Compliance is annihilation. Wake up. Wake up.
The answer to 1984 is 1776.
InfoWars has been banned. Arrested.
Arrested.
Attacked and threatened because we are effective.
Great Awakening is here. Go to band.video. Download the videos and share. Support the information war at InfoWarsStore.com. And never give up the fight.
InfoWars.com.
Last Saturday, we made a splash. So this Saturday, we're doing it again. At 12 noon on August 22nd, Swimming with Alex Jones will commence again at Barton Springs on the free side, right here in Austin, Texas. And this time, we'll have food. That's right, we're bringing food.
I'm going to pay for a professional food truck.
Yeah!
Come out and show your resistance to the ridiculous orders against enjoying the beautiful Greenbelt. Swimming with Alex Jones this Saturday at 12 noon at Barton Springs. See you there.
The free side of Barton Springs. We're going to see everybody out there.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Talking about a ridiculous political convention, so-called, the Zoom NPR fundraiser. That's the best description of it. But look, if you want to win the election, it's the economy, stupid. President Trump, this is your election to lose. And the longer you ignore the Constitution, our individual liberties, our economic freedoms, the longer you push these mask mandates and vaccines as conditions of letting us travel and move, shop, get jobs, go to school. The longer you push that, the more you have hampered and hamstrung yourself. And if you lose this election, it's going to be nobody's fault but yours. You know, we have, in terms of the economics here, we have delinquent FHA mortgages have soared by a record 60% to an all-time high. These are FHA mortgages. Homeowners' budgets implode. And nevertheless, as Zerhedge points out, home builders have never, ever been more confident. This is the disconnect. You know, how can you be confident when people can't pay their mortgages? Oh, we know they're going to buy some new houses, right? This is the disconnect that we see on Wall Street and even at the top of the home builders. And if you think that this is going to be a V-shaped recovery, or is this a dead cat bounce, or is this not only not a recovery but a redistribution of money? As Zero Hedge points out, they believe the V is over. Empire Manufacturing Survey slumps in August as new orders decline. While analysts expect a modest decline in the Empire Manufacturing Survey, the soft sentiment signal tumbled to just 3.7, suggesting the exuberant rebound from the depths of the lockdown is over. We'll have to see. But the bottom line is you can't put a dollar figure on freedom. You can't put a dollar figure on due process. You can't put a dollar figure on what it means to lock people up who are not even sick, to tell us that we got to put masks over our faces or we don't get to go shopping or have a job or whatever, to turn over our basic fundamental liberties to corporations and to unelected bureaucrats. This is insidious. And anybody who allows this to happen, Republican or Democrat, deserves to lose. But let me tell you what it looks like with Democrats in power. Here in Austin, we've got a new city budget. I saw this headline, Democrat City Council defunds the police and sends money to abortion industry instead. Like, oh, whoa, who did that? Oh, Austin. Well, of course it's Austin. Same people who are locking up the public parks like they did in Australia and so forth. And what they've done, they've cut $150 million from the police department here in Austin. And they're going to increase
funding for abortion clinics by $250,000. So not all of it is going to the abortion clinics, but you know, we don't need that. We don't need to protect black lives. They really don't matter, because the whole purpose of Planned Parenthood was to get rid of black people. Margaret Sanger admitted that. And they've now finally admitted that themselves. They're kind of easily, quietly easing her out of their history, distancing themselves from Margaret Sanger. Problem is, she openly talked about eugenics and about black genocide. And oh, by the way, her first treasurer was none other than Prescott Bush, the mentor of the Bush clan. And the Bush family itself was involved in organizations that, while, you know, Jeb Bush was governor of Florida and cutting public funding for abortion, the organizations that he was heading and his family was funding were more than making up what they cut at the state government level. But anyway, Austin Mayor Steve Adler says, I think this is the most forward-looking budget in memory. And that's not really a view that is shared by people outside of the Marxist left. Governor Abbott. Hey, Abbott. Abbott says, Austin's decision puts the brave men and women of the Austin Police Force and their families at greater risk and paves the way for lawlessness. Yeah, I would agree with that. And then he says something that I totally disagree with. Public safety is job number one. You need to start rejecting politicians who push safety, 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 because the emphasis of safety as being the primary business of government is what is killing our safety. Liberty. Liberty is the purpose of government. If we're going to talk about America. Now, if you want to talk about something that is un-American, you can put safety as number one. But to the degree that you give up your liberty, to that degree you become a slave, and slaves are not safe, slaves are not prosperous. So all these Republicans want to talk about law and order and money and so forth. That comes because of freedom, because you maintain the freedom. And by the way, those are all blessings from God that has been spurned by this country, by both parties, frankly. The United Kingdom, as a story on Infowars.com, Steve Watson points out, UK police, you want to talk about defunding the police? There might be a case for this here in the UK. They rejected a job applications from candidate who says that biological gender cannot be changed. This is a woman who's already been a police officer for 16 years. She's applied to a total of 26 forces elsewhere in the country, was rejected already by over half of them for the same reason. Why? Because the police force told her that her views, that human beings can alter their gender, that's not something that we're going to have in the police constabulary. She said, I must point out that I am gender critical, which means that whilst I am firmly against abuse and discrimination to trans people, I do not believe you can change your biological sex. There you go. Just because you wish it to be so. And then we have in Philadelphia, where they have so much violence. And again, at the very beginning of this, you had a small black church where you had a pastor who was in his 70s. And they had a limit of, you know, 10 people getting together. So they stayed within that. They only had 10 people. It was a, you know, the church is basically extinct in Philadelphia. But, of course, not shootings. And it's one of the reasons why you have so many shootings in Philadelphia. The moral decline there. But the police showed up with a massive SWAT team raid on this church with only 10 people inside, elderly black pastor, to shut them down. Can't be bothered about the violence on the street. And yet the Philadelphia officials, because of the wave of gun violence that's now escalating there now, two dozen shootings have happened in the city over the last weekend alone. Four people were left dead, another 15 wounded. This is happening. This is part of living in a democratically controlled area. And so now they decided that they're going to ask law-abiding citizens to just turn in your guns. Donald Trump Jr. writes, are people really this dumb? Law-abiding citizens should turn in their guns and have no means to defend themselves, while outlaw criminals who've been breaking the law will keep the weapons and continue their criminal ways with a leg up, writes Don Trump Jr. But then there's this other power that they wanted people to give up, and power that they did give up in California, that is electrical power, in the false hope that they can get enough renewable energy to power their grid. And now with a high temperature, a heat wave rolling through there, they're having rolling blackouts, widespread blackouts, because they don't have enough power. Why? Because they put all their bets on green energy. And now the solar energy and the windmills are not producing enough. And even Gavin Newsom is saying it's time to sober up about the flaws of green energy. We've been pointing this out, organization that I was working with long before I came here to InfoWars, and I've been here for 8 years. We're pointing out the renewable energy was a plan for poverty and austerity that it could never produce. As a matter of fact, you get windmills, and they, you know, the wind is not always blowing. So they decided in off the coast of Ireland, oh, we'll make a bigger windmill fill. And all they did was they got bigger peaks and troughs in energy production. You can do energy cleanly without going to this green energy stuff. And you know, when you go back and you look at the way the left all turned on Michael Moore when he finally got something right. Finally, he got it right. He said this whole thing is a crony capitalist scam. And boy, they just eviscerated him. And now he's being, should be vindicated. But I don't expect Hollywood's going to give him a call. he's sitting there alone in his baseball cap, waiting for all of his friends on the left to say, you know, you were right about this. Because I guess they can't call him because they don't have any power now. But see, that's what happens. You turn your power over to the government, your power to protect you. You turn over your power to generate income for yourself, to generate power for yourself. Whether it's economic power or whether it's electrical power, the government always fails. And, yeah, I've done documentaries about that many times. It's a recipe for disaster. The government cannot keep you safe. They cannot make you prosperous. All right, folks, we're near the end of the program. Before we leave, I just want to remind you of what funds this program. And that is the products that we have at InfoWarsStore.com, and we have some specials right now. We have our Everyday Essentials sale. We have things like Prostaguard, Ultimate Fish Oil, Krill Oil, Survival Shield, X2 Nascent Iodine, and Vasobeat. All of those are now back in stock and heavily discounted. 50, 60% some of them. Take a look at InfoWarsStore.com for your Everyday Essentials sale. We really do appreciate your support.
This is a maximum alert, a maximum alert. As of taping this alert, we are 82 days out from the election. As many of you know, in the last year, I've pointed out statements out of the Council on Foreign Relations and other globalist organs that they know Trump is going to win in a landslide. So their strategy will be to contest the election if they fail to successfully steal it. Then they are openly now wargaming. This is in the New York Times. Having Democrat states and cities secede from the union, just like they've ignored Trump's policies on coronavirus and kept their areas locked down. That is nothing but a dress rehearsal. They are saying they're going to have their own separate inauguration, not in D.C. They said in another city, Pelosi has said this, when they crown Biden and Kamala Harris. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the organized civil war. This is their public criminal plan. We should be praying. We should be spreading the word. We should be demanding Trump on the offense to expose this criminal activity.
I've talked to the EMS and I've talked to medical doctors, and what makes you nauseated, it's not just the smell of the piss. What we call the smell of bum piss, that has that sweet nauseating smell.
I wouldn't say sweet.
Well, it does. It has a sweet, sweet stench. It makes me want to throw up like rotten meat. It is the crap of dust mites.
Have you noticed the stench of bum piss in your leftist-run neighborhoods? The crap of dust mites in bum piss is a real thing, and InfoWars Store has the solution. InfoWars has created the most powerful herbal lung cleanse and respiratory support product on the market. With over 1,000 types of mold and mildew, toxic chemicals, and yes, dust mites. Our Lung Cleanse Plus, made with organic and wild cultivated herbs, is just what you need to survive the unprecedented surge of bum piss and other toxic substances in liberal leftist cities everywhere. Order the InfoWars Life Lung Cleanse Plus supplement today at InfoWarsStore.com.
You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.